Well, that's all right. It was, wasn't until it got to the front that, and we were teasing about Mendoza.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost called you.
I know.
And you caught it. And you caught
it. I did.
And I went like this, and I went, and I couldn't look.
We're trying to figure out what the next one's going to be. Is it going to be Medrano?
No, don't even talk to me.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Got my calculator. See how quick we can burn through this. See how quickly we can go through this. You got mine already.
Yeah. I'll talk to mine
right now. Yeah, I
agree. It kind of makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. What page?
It's like 5 of 500 or something.
15 of 2.
Be quiet. Okay, are we ready?
Yeah.
All right, Patsy's in. This should come up. So it's... Let me see, it's...
See, it's just us three. I don't think she's going to be in.
Okay. All right, good evening, everybody. I'm calling this meeting to order. This is a committee meeting of the Finance Audit Facilities Planning Committee. Today is January 16th, 2013. The time is 6:20 p.m. Cortez, would you please call roll?
Mr. Sergio Coronado?
Here.
Ms. Adriana Medina?
Here.
Ms. Laura Soro?
Here.
All committee members present?
Thank you. Would you read, please, the first agenda item?
Agenda item 8, Facilities Planning Roundtable, to include item 1, introduction of new facilities team members, item 2, pre-K through 8 update, item 3, update on soils testing and recommendations, item 4, update on surveying, item 5, proposed schedule gas chart. Item 6, proposed schedule in relation to construction market in El Paso. Item 7, final utility locations. Item 8, lead update on status points pursued, etc. Item 9, presentation of draft of exterior renderings and finished boards for Board of Trustees input. Item 10, policy, selection of school colors. Item 11, district-wide bond project, passed and proposed milestone. Item 12, district-wide campus security services.
All right. If everybody wants to go downstairs to the table and we'll get this. All right, Jennifer, go ahead.
We're trying to jump right into the new year, so yes. I was trying to organize everything in my mind. And so item 1 is the introduction of the new facilities team members. So one of the things that I did before we came back is I wanted to organize so that time wouldn't escape us, how we were going to meet certain timelines and organize what kind of board deadlines we needed to meet. And so that's the draft of this timeline that you see here. And I was doing that in preparation of the bond project manager, which was only here for 48 hours, and has decided, it seems that he has returned to Baines. He lived on George Dieter. He called me very late on Tuesday night. He'd been with Baines 15 years. He said that most of his work was in the field, and I told him this work would be in the field just maybe like in 6 months from now. I think he was looking for kind of like a toned down, less stressful job. So like he was like a, kind of like before retirement, but after, you know, and so we didn't, it didn't end up working out, but it's fine. Cause now I'm all organized for my own intents and purposes. So that's kind of the,
will you repost?
Yes, we're currently reposting. It's online right now. Like he officially put his resignation. So the very next day it went back online. And so I'm thinking that, like, I'm going to wait not till this Friday, but probably till, like, next Friday, give it, like, one more week, see if I get another two.
You have to give it 10 days anyways, hon.
Once you
give it. So we won't let you do anything illegal, okay?
Okay. Well, that's what's going to be all safer now. So we're just going to wait the 10 days, see who else, and then we're going to go at it again.
Okay.
So as far as the pre-K through 8 update, everybody has been working extremely hard, and we've been gearing up. We have a lot of kind of like decisions on the table for today. So this, what I put together here is, you know, we left off last time we saw each other at the December 18th board meeting. So here's just some big picture things of what happened last fall, you know. Architects, prevailing wage rate, schematic design for all architects, soils testing. The RFQ for the CMRs for the district-wide projects went out to bid in December. And so here we are. So since we haven't met, on December 26th, I might just skip to my two updates quickly. One of the two items that we have is the soils testing. So if I could refer you to this page in your packet, this is from NCON. They started on December 26th, of course, with the pre-K through 8 being their top priority. We asked both of the vendors to provide a schedule. So they did this schedule, and this is all the projects. This is the pre-K through 8, Al Darete, the middle school, the high school, everything. And this was provided late last week, well, actually on Monday. By within the next 2 to 3 days, they will have finished all the labs, all the borings, everything for every single location on their campus. And so we think that maybe their recommendations in their report due to Carl Daniel, we think maybe it's like a week away.
Wow.
So, and then after that, of course, they're doing that one first. And so really their goal was to make every single campus by like, I think it's like 3 weeks, but it's by like the second week in February. So NCON is super hardworking. They've been working all during Christmas break. We coordinated with custodial to make sure they had access to all of the, you know, to anywhere that they needed. They broke a couple of rigs out there at the pre-K. Good thing we didn't go geothermal. I don't know if you guys had any other questions regarding the soils testing company.
Anybody?
Nope.
No. So it's humming along, and they've been really great. The second schedule that you see here, this is the schedule that was provided by SLI Engineering. And before we left for break, these are all the ones that they've been contracted for. They gave the dates that they would be in the field surveying and the dates that they would be doing the drawing. So as you can see, one architect, of course, starting with the smallest one, M&K, and this is the one that's most complicated because it's a lot of interior work. They've received theirs. The next one up in line this Friday will have both surveys to GA. That's for all that at the middle school and for the Northwest Early College campus.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, he'll be moving on to the third architect. And so they're really humming along by February 6th. I talked to them this morning. They're on schedule. They work starting December 26th. They had access all during the Christmas break. We were working for them to make sure they were okay.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, we were hiring SLI to do some other preliminary surveying to get, you know, for CDA. So just to let you know, two excellent, excellent.
What does CAD mean on here?
CAD is like after they go in the field and they do all the points, and somebody has to go in and like draw it in the computer.
Okay.
So CAD is just the software that they're putting it in the computer.
Thank you. Consider computer aided design.
Okay.
Serving. So now that brings us back to, I guess, to frame this in the big picture before we get into the status of the pre-K and the schedule. Oscar put together this amazing thing right here. Which is basically, I've like been handing these out even to people that aren't part of anything that we're doing.
Oh, wow.
And this shows all of the, Ugo, did I get your phone?
We have.
Oh, okay. Ugo, this is these are all the construction projects that are happening in the El Paso area. They're, oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Broom. All right, I was distracted. These are all of the construction projects, their dollar amounts and everything, just to give you a time frame. But one of the good news, and although this is not related to pre-K-3, one of the good news is that, you know, we did this CMR package that advertised over Christmas, and we got a great response. It closed today at 2, and we got 12 contractors bidding. So despite all of this, like, you know, which, you know, based on, you know, Carl, even though it's the other jobs, will tell you that, you know, we had a pretty good response. So
what's the Walmart? Which one's that one?
It's Barrington and Horizon Boulevard.
Horizon.
How about the theaters?
They're on Montana and Route 375.
We don't get anything. We get nothing.
Nothing on the west side. Although I did go visit the job site today, and what's it called? The Synergy Development out of Dallas.
Synergy.
Uh-huh.
And they say 250,000 square feet retail. I'm going to call them and see if it's real, because they're doing the fountains project.
Yeah. We heard this.
And I know the two guys that are running that. So we'll see.
Report back.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yes.
That would be excellent.
Wow.
There's a lot of construction going on.
Yeah.
And I left off the Texas Tech Nursing School.
Oh.
That will be done in the end of this year.
Okay.
Last quarter of this year. It's about 9 years.
Where's the
The community college says that they only have $6 million, but they're still trying to do their community college on campus on Fort Bliss, remember?
Oh, the one on Montana?
Yeah. I left those two up.
And the Beaumont, the new medical center?
Yeah, that's they're going to pick a contractor next week.
So it's not even on this?
No, it's on there. It's $750 million.
Wow. Fort Bliss Hospital there. Wow.
But you know what was interesting is the $90 million trolley job is, as soon as they get their environmental clearance, they're going to start that one. It's
very
already
quickly
designed.
Yeah. And that's just the initial part.
Wow. We're popular all of a sudden.
Yeah. Thanks for writing this, Oscar. And I didn't anticipate that many.
And
they're
amazing too. I think they met this week, to prioritize which city bond projects they want to start. Like, I think they want to do the soccer fields on the east side. Knock off right away. It's about as a breakout of
the
city bond.
The 500 million.
This is wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. Nice?
Yeah, this is absolutely wonderful. I hope we can stick to it. I mean, look, they're ground.
So from there, we have like all the items that relate to the pre-K through 8. So
wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
So this schedule, and on that note, we have Ugo and Carl have all kinds of stuff tonight. They're presenting their. They're 100% design development for you. They're also presenting their some of their interior next interior renderings, which are like amazing. Oh my gosh, I need to learn how to do that myself. They've got an update on the lead points. We do have the commissioning agent. His contract has been executed. Thank you very much. And they're working together on that. And we also have the utility locations. And then at the end, after they present, we'll talk about the schedule and a little bit more about this, and then we'll roll into the other one. So if you guys want to.
Okay. Anybody have any?
The package comments? That we have, Ugo's going to just run us through the pretty picture part of it and then the technical. The technical part of it that we turned in tonight is really a progress set. It's almost 100% DD, but we're going to turn in on Tuesday the actual formal 100% DD package. There'll be some more things in there at that point in time.
More paper.
Yeah, I'm giving you this full set, but I don't know if you want to keep it.
reuse it.
Janet, do you have a set? So I'm just going to go. Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's okay.
Ooh. Okay.
Wow. Did you guys want to know?
We got one for everybody.
I drive by that site.
Yes.
Got a deal ready to be paid. You see that?
Mm-hmm. What did they put in that hole?
Isn't it Via Canyon Tia?
There was a big hole in one of the initial field surveys. There was like a big giant slot of like they were even put materials there. I'm sure we'll find out with soil testing. But there was where the field's going to be.
On our site?
Yes.
Yeah, that was. That was actually an old room that time for about a year.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Believe it or not, in the olden days, before he developed
so it was there?
Before he developed the upper side. Remember we used to get all the water coming down
here? Mm-hmm.
That was part of
we used to take our 4x4s up there, and I don't think I ever went that far out.
Yeah. I saw that in your environmental study.
Yeah.
That was done.
I'll go through it.
Apologize, but we have one item that a couple of our employees are waiting for, and we'd like to just get them out of here with the committee's consent. I'd like to take up, before we start the issue on the PK through 8 review of the plans, if we could take up agenda item B6.
I think they're in.
Huh?
Yes. Let me go get him.
Yes. Coach.
There you go.
And then, what about Ron Gale, too?
Yes.
Okay.
Ron, and which is the tractor 4 and 5. C4 and 5.
Tractor. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it, but I heard that it's like commercial grade.
That's
pretty
a tractor.
Cool.
That's a tractor.
They're amazing. Yeah. I told him he has like the funnest job.
So it's C5 and
the guy that
B6?
Bought the tractor.
B6, road. C4 and 5.
Yeah, that's
four
a cool
five.
Job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lord, you know what I hear every morning now and every evening?
Hey, how are you?
And those tracks of those trucks.
Beep, beep.
As they're clearing out this little ambulance.
Hey, Cortez, would you call out agenda item B6? The committee will be taking that up at this time.
Agenda item B6, recommendations for Mendel High School letter jackets, presenter Coach Brooks.
Where's letter jackets?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're pretty.
Blue letter jackets.
Do you want me to pass those out for you?
Was that you?
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Monday.
you
never got one. So much.
I was nice to him and gave him one.
I met her and I never got a jacket, Coach.
Do you want me to stand still?
I have three of them. I'm bringing one.
Stand,
okay.
Whatever
you want.
A little brief history on these. And this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Coach, just identify yourself.
Okay. Scott Brooks, athletic director and head football coach. Up until 2009, the district paid for the jackets, fine arts, ROTC, band, athletics, etc. Okay. In 2010 to the present, I believe 2010 is when the budgets we had to really cut and everything. We started paying half, and the kids paid half. And there's several ways we've done this. Kids have paid half. We fundraised for our half. In football, and there's a couple of sports that do that, and a couple, it just depends, okay? What has happened is, starting that year, we've been dealing with Tejas for years. I mean, I know they've been doing it since I've been here, 13, 14
That's
years.
That's the name of the company, sir?
Tejas, they're out of San Angelo.
Okay.
Okay? This is what we buy the kids, okay? The orange and the...
That's what I have.
Okay. This it's
that's
been
what you gave mom back
yeah.
there.
He got to use one. This is the same one that I guess has been around for years.
That's what I have.
Decades.
Okay?
Yeah. Decades.
And what's happening is
Grant has that.
Yeah.
The kids are going out, and it's not Tejas' fault because they're a business and we've got to allow them to do it. But they're customizing the jackets and paying $80 to $120 for the jacket. This is one style they're doing, and they're putting the blue, most of them are putting, getting an orange body with a blue sleeve.
They're reversing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's just happened to be the one kid I found. It was the volleyball team, really the girls are the ones who do it more than the guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what I'm coming to you, I've got, the problem is they're getting their own. Not everybody, okay? We're talking 25-30% a year are probably doing this on their own, okay? I just need some direction. I've heard the community is upset. You know, some people say, well, how come they're going to this and that? And it's not us doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kids doing it. So the three proposals I have, well, let me go to the bottom of first. YSD students buy their own jackets. They've done it. They've never bought theirs. Clint ISD students buy their own. EPISD, each sport is they buy them, but they're very limited. They have a certain number of year, and that's it. Socorro, they buy their jackets, and Sanelli, they buy their jackets. Okay, Anthony, I did not get an answer from. Okay, proposal one is that we purchase letters only, and the kids, since they're buying the jackets, we give them a letter, and then they buy the jacket. Okay. Proposal two is we continue with the same system what we're doing. We're doing half, but we're gonna live with this. Proposal three is we go back to the old way, and we fund them, and we buy them, and this is what you're getting. You know, you want to go buy your own, then do it off. You know, that's your business. But while Tejas is there, they're getting. The kids are paying, they're 30, getting this, and then on the side, they're buying this, okay? What I put in here is that on proposal one is we could have a hardship where students, you know, if we know a kid is a true hardship, that it's going to be a financial burden on them, that we have a fund set up to cover that, you know, where it wouldn't be embarrassing for the kid. I mean, we know, you know. We know who they are. Each coach knows who they are. Every director knows who they are. I mean, you know, as far as students go. My big thing is, I just want some direction, you know, on where y'all want to go with this. Mm-hmm. And because the reason I asked before Christmas was for this to come up was, you know, hearing things about the blue and about that, it
causes problems.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it doesn't cause me.
My phone to ring. That's
yeah. You know, and they've got a real, and it's very hard. And I know this is also, but orange is getting harder and harder to buy in everything.
Really?
Yeah, stock
what
colors.
Mean orange what?
Orange jerseys, orange uniforms. It's all becoming custom because the companies are all cutting back to navy, royal, red, scarlet, white,
mm-hmm.
purple. That's just the way they're doing it because it's cheaper. So you know, there are not that many orange schools. So it's that's part of the
right. Lori,
the $60, that's a total cost.
Yeah, $60.
So we're just paying 30.
They're paying half. 60. And the reason that they keep it at $60, UIL only allows $70 a year. So a kid can letter, and if he's all district, we give him a plaque, or if he's all area band, we give him a plaque or, you know, trophy. Mm-hmm.
$70 of
an award.
Of
for
an
the
award.
Year. Yes. This is considered part of the award.
Okay.
Okay. So it's not a, that's why they keep, Tejas has kept it at $60. It's because they want, they do us, Sanelli, because Clint does get them. I think they do Socorro too. They're out of San Angelo. They've done a good job with it, you know, as far as. But I my big thing is, if it was me, and I see what these kids are doing, to me, proposal one is purchase letters only. I mean, and that's just because if our kids couldn't afford jackets, we wouldn't have these around. You know, this would not exist. They would be getting these and be thankful for them.
Yeah.
And now, you know, and like I said, the girls are worse. Our whole volleyball team bought these.
It's style.
Well, and I understand because you can walk around in this and wear a lot of things. It's hard to wear orange. I've had girls tell me that. You know, that's But we're changing a little bit. You know, we're not, and I've only been here this only. This is my 13th year, and it's changed a lot socioeconomic-wise. You know, we're, our
for
kids
the record, Coach is suggesting we change the school colors to...
Whoa.
Was it purple and yellow? So if we were to subsidize, let's say, continue, we used to do it a full subsidize.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And pay for the letter, pay for the...
And it's a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. We do not... You know, if a kid letters in football, track, baseball, whatever letter they get first is the letter they receive. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't, we don't buy the second a second letter like they would. You know, if
you were I remember people getting tons of letters, putting them on the back.
Or the second letter, you know, you get a bar with one or two. We don't do that. Once it's that's it. This one's my older son's. He lettered in track his sophomore year, so he never got a football letter jacket. So he got. A track letter jacket.
You could pay, but you could pay somebody to update the letter.
Right.
And you're saying orange is difficult.
No. In this, it's good. I'm just saying orange is getting more and more difficult for general.
For uniforms, but
yes,
that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
As a choice, it's not customization.
What's the Mr. Chair, if I might, what's the total of option three? What's the increase to the budget?
Well.
What's the current budget that we have?
Well, it's all different.
We would just double it, right?
It's
essentially
it's out of miscellaneous.
It's out of a
miscellaneous
account, but it's like a budget. It's budgeted to the campus,
to the different
department,
different sports.
Like the numbers. I mean, football has more than softball, just sheer numbers. It's kind of based on we do it on an average. No, I think.
No, I'm just curious. I remember having my jacket. Still have it in my.
Well, we're talking about in football. I mean,
football's the biggest one.
Every
so
year,
we do.
You're not going to get a jacket every year. You're talking about one class. What, 400 or 500?
Well, you have to be
400 kids.
Like this year, we did. I think we had 28 kids letter.
28.
Okay, and
so that's
so. 30 times $900.
Right. But that's just football.
Just football. I can go through and do the numbers of what everybody spent.
Yeah.
Because we've done the fall. We have done spring. They do it in two shifts. We do fall sports end of November, and then we come in.
What was the small budget line item when we took it out of?
I'm thinking probably, but anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 a year is the budget for that now?
Yeah.
Something
that
like that.
That sounds about right. I think it was $5,000 that we had on the stakeholders.
What's the cost of the blue jacket versus the orange jacket?
I know the minimum is $80.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the other.
Do they get it from Tejas as
yes.
well? So it's all from Tejas.
It's all from Tejas.
I guess in my kind of opinion, I would like to at least standardize the type of jackets they're getting and not just have just an orange. And nothing else,
right.
Because you want to give them a little bit
right.
of flair.
I know, we had a soccer tournament this weekend at school, and Franklin had four different jackets, the girls standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them, I said, well, we have the option. We can get leather sleeves, and we pay the $20, or we can pay for a solid, and it's $30, so that's...
But there's a control on what can
yes.
be done. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think maybe that's...
I think they had a gray sleeve leather and a black... Because I think those are black.
Black, yeah.
Yeah, and they had a gray leather and a solid black. But my main concern is just where do we want to go with it? Because also budget's coming up. You know, that's coming up with this. But also we don't want the community saying, well, the kids are, KNTO's buying these for the kids. Well, we're not. And that's been the perception.
I say we still give if the kid's going to buy it their own, I mean, the actual color is orange. The majority of it is orange. It's supposed to be a slight, and it's supposed to be the Colombian blue. But I think my suggestion, if the district's going to pay for it, go with the old. I mean, you have this one.
I have the orange one, but I think times also change. And we just give them that option, like very similar to Franklin, where these are the set, and here's your options. If you have the ability to pay, you can. The district will pay fully for the orange one.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean... I rather keep what the district is paying for, the original one, Because even my uncle Pat, and that was what, 80, no, 70. Mm-hmm. 74? Yeah.
Yeah, that's our tradition.
And so.
Yeah, the orange.
Yeah, it's the tradition. It's, and, you know, I also want, and this is probably a stupid thing for me to say, but I don't want people to start saying, we're wearing colors. You know, we got our colors. We're the blue people, and you're the orange people.
I mean, I would prefer they didn't buy the blue, but that's.
But you can't right. stop.
No, they yeah. can get what
that's,
they
that's,
want.
That's the thing.
A third of them have them.
They're doing.
And see, we kind of. I don't know if this was on the record. But we kind of told kids, you know, if you're buying this, we're not buying this.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if they came Thank up you. With their money, we just said, that's your problem. You know, and so volleyball girls decided they were gonna.
They did their own fundraiser.
And that's did their. They just I bought mean, them, from what I understand. Wow. And the cheerleaders, about they've the last 4 or 5 years, theirs have been different because they've got that split. You know, they
yeah.
spend big bucks on theirs. You know.
They're cheerleaders.
Yeah, there's my daughter.
Well,
they are.
Any suggestions from the committee?
I just think if they're already doing it, standardize what they can do to them to make them be an official sort of Canutio letter jacket. Because we are giving them that letter. It's a recognition towards it. It's almost like saying, yeah, I want the award, but I want it in purple. Sometimes you can't have it your way. But if you give them options, everybody likes options now, and I think maybe if you give them that option and subsidize it fully, option three, you know, I think that's the way I would move toward.
Coach, Lori?
I think whatever you want is what I want. You're the coach. You've got hands-on with those kids. Whatever one of these is the best to you and keeps the tradition, the, you know, the richness of our district. You know how we all feel.
How about if we tell them, look, if you're going to get the orange, which is the traditional color, we will pay for it fully. Mm-hmm. If you're going to, and you will have it, and otherwise, like, Adrian is saying you have an option, you can have the blue or whatever, but the district then is only going to pay $40, which would be half of the.
I say,
right?
If the district's going to pay for it, it has to be the original. And if you want to go and customize your own, I mean, because people would go customize and spend like $300.
Yeah, we've got kids with white sleeves, believe it or not.
I remember that in a little white leather look to it, almost a you know.
Mm-hmm. I say we standardize what the district's paying for, say this is it.
But we should still subsidize, is I think what he was saying.
I say no.
No?
Mm-hmm. Coach, what's your feeling?
My feeling? Honestly, I mean, if you want to continue to buy, we can continue to buy, if that's what you want to do. I think our money could be spent elsewhere for things that we need. You know, everything is going up every year. This is a... you know, it's an item that I know Mondo can't fit in his anymore, and I can't fit in mine anymore. And you know, it's a great thing while in high school, but
that's, you got yours in choir. Right?
Years later, yeah. You know, and the thing is, if a kid really wants one, you know, the other thing is we could do is if they letter in three sports, give them three letters.
That's a nice idea.
Yeah. Instead of giving, you know,
just give the letters to them and let them get the jacket.
Yeah.
Just what you have on proposal one.
Yeah, and we may have. I don't know how the community will feel.
I'm still dealing with the kids that can't afford it.
But yeah. but I've written it in.
Had to.
That we would have set aside $1,200, and if we truly know a kid cannot afford it, then we.
That's how many
we're not. We would not be breaking any UIL rules because we would still be in the $60 limit.
Yeah, but then do they get the jacket that just marks, I'm sorry, you're the poor kid?
You're going to have
because you're still
when they go buy it, though.
It's already a zoo. I do it every...
No, but I'm talking about the individuals, right?
Yeah.
You know,
well, Tejas, I think, would still come in because...
It's 20 jackets a year, essentially.
Yeah, they would come in because they're going to... They do a circle. They do us at LA, you know, they do them... I'm for whatever y'all want. I mean, but in my opinion, you know, it is what it is, I guess. It's to me, the $30 thing is a pain because
financially, right?
To
keep
gather.
Track who paid, who didn't. You can't get the jacket till you pay the $30. Do you order the jacket? Do you not order the jacket? Because the kids paid the $30. We promise he's going to pay $30, but
yeah.
And then the jacket comes in, he hadn't paid the $30.
Then that makes more sense just to pay for the letter then. and still keep are touching.
Are we say, look, this is the jacket.
I like that idea. This is the jacket.
And I think I can deal with that. We've been doing them long enough and say, look, if you want to sell them separate jackets, give them your card, and mom and dad can call and arrange it.
Mm-hmm. You don't do nothing with it. You just keep the customizing, and that's it.
Yeah, well, in other words, they tell them, look, if you want to do business with us, you're going to sell us this jacket.
Mm-hmm. And only this jacket.
And only this jacket. Now, if you want to sell customers, you know, if you want to sell, then you give them your website and let you go order. Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
What you're asking, right, is, Coach, is that you're asking for us to keep it at the full funded or half funded?
If we're going to do it in court, and not, I shouldn't say force, but if we're going to
standardize,
then I would suggest that we do this and fund it and say, this is the jacket you will receive.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. If you don't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
If you're going to pay for it, you buy it
but
on your own.
But you're going to pay for it on your own somewhere.
Yeah.
Wherever.
On your own time. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Now, so a little back, I talked to I polled everybody, okay? Okay, it was about 50-50 on buying their own, giving the letter among sponsors and everything, and people saying, well, let's go back to the $6. So that's, you know, kind of half and half with who's doing it.
Okay.
I'm good with that. Yeah.
Fine with that.
So the recommendation be we fully fund it.
As long as it's a standard order.
You get that jacket. If you mm-hmm. don't want that jacket, you go on your own and get something else. But this is what you're getting from us.
I could fit in Tyler's jacket, I bet.
Wow. All right. So
that's Tevi's jacket?
The committee then, item B6, the committee will recommend to the board that the district fund the entire purchase price of the letter jacket that will be standardized orange, and any individual wanting to purchase a different color from the standardized will pay for the entire jacket on their own. So that's what we'll recommend to the board.
Okay.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks
for coming, too.
Okay, let me guess. What is it? Tubby? Ron?
I heard Tubby. Yeah. Tubby's was like 5XL?
Yeah.
Thank you for letting us go.
Sure, Coach.
Oh, Letty's here.
Yeah, Letty's here.
I can't believe she came.
Looks better.
Yeah, I agree with Letty. It's
$600.
All right, we'll do next agenda item C5.
C5, Tractor for Career and Technology Education, presenter Mr. Gatlin.
Mr. Gatlin.
The Kate department is wishing to purchase a John Deere tractor for the Ag department. You should have the information there in front of you. We did get three bids from John Deere, mm-hmm. Mesquite, Texas, Mesquite, New Mexico.
Did you see it?
San Eli, and I think we got another one from Amarillo.
Awesome.
I just saw.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be purchased through the
we have all kinds of
Houston Galveston area cooperative, purchasing cooperative.
That thing with.
It's a big tractor.
It is a big tractor.
Well, Ron, it's not a giant tractor, is it? I mean, it's not that big. It's like a medium size. Right?
About 99 horsepower.
How much?
About 99 horsepower.
Oh, 99 horsepower?
Does it look like that?
It's kind of bigger.
I was going to say 99 horsepower.
Do you get all of that?
Yes, ma'am.
That little claw on the front?
The claw, no. It'll be just a bucket.
You get the bucket?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Anybody have any questions, comments?
I'm so happy for you.
Now you'll have a trailer.
It's been a long time coming.
Hay rides and stuff. No, we can have that for the parade.
It's going to be in the parade.
For the parade.
In the parade.
Nice.
Yeah.
$100,000
will be
in the
parade. And you'll pull the board.
All right. Any questions, Mr. Gill?
Will it supply your needs? I mean, it's
No doubt. This one here, ultimately, the reason we're doing this is because there's a lot of technology behind this tractor that, you know, the way we spec'd it out, it's going to be something that, I mean, not only does the job, but it's something that these students can kind of get away from. You know,
and learn.
Plows mentality, you know.
Okay. I'm excited. Committee's in agreement to recommend it to the board?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
We are. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Congratulations. I remember when we got that old tractor.
GPS.
Does it have GPS?
It does have GPS.
Yeah, all the equipment out there.
Yes.
It's you know, for our survey.
Yeah.
You can do surveys, but it's you won't touch the steering wheel. So you'll drive it, like, position itself in the field, and then you
bring
sit
Jimmy
on
over.
Oh,
he's gone.
When you drop your implement, it steers itself. So you get to the end of the field.
You need to make sure Mr. Searles gets a ride on that.
Oh. Okay,
since he's lending us his for a while.
Jimmy's giving him his tractor over and over again. But we've been trying to do this for 2 years. I know. Yeah. This is good. Okay.
All right.
Is there anybody else?
Anybody else that we need to take care of? No? That's it? Okay. Back to the agenda then. Carl and Nugo?
Yeah. What you have, this is your presentation package you're providing right now. The first sheet that you see is the site plan. Basically, what we have done is revised based on all your comments that we had before when we met, comments from Oscar and Jennifer and the whole team. And basically, what we did, we cleaned the entire site plan based on the recommendations the board did. For example, the three alternates that remain are the concession area, which is this little dot on the bottom that you guys see.
Yes, number one.
That's number one. Number two will be the bleachers, and those bleachers at this point are aluminum.
Not the concrete?
Not the concrete.
Aluminum fixed.
Aluminum fixtures.
That's what we have.
Could we turn them into concrete later?
We can recess this portion on the grates. If you guys want to do that, we need to know quick.
I think, I personally
you
think
know how Chapin is, how they're... Mm-hmm. That would be what we'd get if you...
We can, and there's still time to do that if you guys want to make that change.
What's the difference in terms of capacity? Are we talking that much, or is it the same?
It's not the capacity. It's basically, if we recess this portion here, we're going to have to do some retaining walls along this area, and that was one of the reasons to take that out. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to do another ramp, a couple of things, stairs. And so I think we can add that
right
portion.
Now it's kind of let's call it grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right now, if you walk through it, you pretty much walk all the way through the track. Mm-hmm. But if we're gonna reset, we're gonna put a couple other things. But if you guys want like that, I don't think you think it's gonna affect you too much on the cost.
No. Let's look at it. See if we could do some kind of a back retaining wall. Just leave the grades alone.
We'll look at it, but I think we're hearing that we want to recess this so later on. You may want to do concrete.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think so.
I do too. Set us up so we're good to go.
Yeah.
How many seating capacity?
I can't remember. I want to say
about 8,000.
I was thinking 5. It's a big step up here.
Maybe between 1,500 to
2,000.
1,500, I would say.
You're kidding.
I will give you a good number.
Yeah, because of
our middle school.
Depends
on the middle school. No.
Look at Alvareta. We.
How many you have?
Our bleachers there.
500,
maybe 500.
Yeah. Oh, but there's people that sit on the sidelines. There's no
capacity of the bleachers.
So 1,500 is going to be three times what we've got.
That's
nice.
The area,
but not as much as what CMS has.
CMS has got probably 15 to 2,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll try to give you a.
Remember, we only have 125 students unless you let the girls play.
Yeah.
I'm a little bitty one.
I would say 1,500.
Dude, everybody plays.
1,500 to 2,000 is fine because we won't
have
the other bleachers on the other side.
Right.
And at CMS, we do.
Thank you.
Yes, well, we'll do, we'll adjust it to meet the number of 1,500, 2,000.
Yeah.
But we're going to recess it, and the bleachers are still going to be aluminum, yes. But it could be concrete later on.
Just like the high school.
Yes. Exactly. Aluminum right now.
So this is aluminum, and then
with yeah, later on, you guys decide to do concrete. You can take those out, obviously come in and fill the area.
Can't we do that as an alternate this time around? Before we.
Yeah.
We can design something.
We could.
I do.
Could.
I know.
Okay.
You're crazy.
That would be another
like to see that.
Yeah, because I don't want to spend on bleachers and then get them out and then put the concrete again. Just
so we do another
visitor side. I mean, but then we'd have to put something on this side for that.
Yeah.
Right. We do another alternate like concrete.
Yeah.
Okay. And bring us the price back?
Well, yeah, I can bring it back.
All right.
The third alternate is the fire truck with the jump track, the long jump and the short jump.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. We deleted the, I guess, soccer field, play field areas, and the baseball field, so that's just going to be...
Mm-hmm. This one over here.
Yes.
But it'll be leveled. It'll be.
It was going to be graded.
Okay. That's fine.
And make it work with the existing grades. The other thing that we deleted is those visitors parking areas on both sides, as you can see, and we push the building about 40 feet towards Northern Pass Drive. Hmm. We actually left the building another foot so we can balance the existing dirt with the cotton field.
Oh.
And the entire site is more clean now. It's pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Have we saved? Are we saving our Ocotillo?
Yes, we still. That's still the plan to do.
Okay.
Go out there and take
and harvest them,
storage them, mm-hmm. come back.
And cactus.
I didn't see any too many cactus.
No, but if. If there's, because they're beautiful, yeah. They're so gorgeous in the spring.
I don't think I see. Yeah, I saw any.
Okay.
What's the parking capacity?
Yeah, that's one of the nicest things. We can keep some of that. All of
it. I thought that was excellent.
I know that out of program, that was one of the things that some parents were concerned about.
Let's see if I kept them on the other one, the number. But I think we have 50 on the middle side, and. Another 50 on the other there. On the middle side, we have 50.
Mm-hmm.
And on the elementary side, we have 66.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the service side for the kitchen,
mm-hmm. there
about 10.
And then it also stated that within that ring it was wide enough that you could park on that side.
Correct. Okay. Correct. There's it's wide enough to.
But those are just the spaces alone, not the side sort of curb parking.
Exactly.
Okay.
And believe it or not, for Leeds points, the least parking spaces right. that you have, the more mm-hmm. Leeds points.
All right.
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to encourage bicycling and walking.
So you've actually made it more Leeds.
But right now, we're over that limit.
Yes, sir.
I remember. Yeah. So we're not taking that point.
You're not taking that point. What's the limit?
We're over the limit.
Are we over the limit?
Yes.
Oh, you're kidding. By how many?
We'll go back and check, but I think at one point we knew that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But if you all want to take that point, we have to delete a couple of parking spaces.
If it were only two.
Yeah, if it were only two.
No, we need to add more.
Nobody likes it anymore?
I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They start screaming.
Mm-hmm. Nobody likes it anymore?
No, what's going to happen.
Or rides their bikes.
Why don't you have enough parking space? It's always clogged up there.
They're going to be walking and riding.
Side plan?
Huh?
No.
If what we're discussing were to happen, that we needed some more parking spaces built in, the area between Northern Pass and the front of that school, mm-hmm. is that something that could be converted in parking?
I would say any area. It's wide enough.
Sort of angled parking.
Wide enough to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially that front the side where we used to have other parking.
Yeah, right here. Actually right here.
This area, this area.
So at any point that we say, hey.
It is possible to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, like that other girl might come from your mom.
You probably see that.
On the next sheet, we have the what we call the street level plan, where basically the main entrance is from Northern Pass Drive. And previously, we decided that the commons area was going to be deleted, and now it's an open courtyard with the canopy, and then there's a what we have there is like a fence, kind of like a solid wrought iron fence that is not visible. It would have some panels in between. So when you close it, you won't be able to see it.
I like this.
Does this work?
Because before, as you guys directed us, we now have the library at the center of the space where we used to have the other courtyard. And we added the two classrooms at the bottom of the elementary side, at the end on the upper portion. We deleted a couple of spaces. We adjusted the size of the entire upper floor plan, and now that floor plan is about 63,303 square feet.
Just from street level from Northern Pass, if I were to walk in.
Right, you would walk in directly. I think that's the square footage for that upper level. Any question on this floor plan?
Ugo, I hate to say this, but you know, we've had a lot of issues with safe schools. Did y'all, you know, just maybe in the past weeks after the shooting in Connecticut, have y'all taken maybe a second look and said, yeah, this is a safe school, or, you know, is...
We actually had a seminar in our office with Ingersoll Rand when they came in and talked to us about security. We didn't change the design of the school because it's already designed so that we can secure it. And we they came over and did a lunch and learn for us and talked to us about some of the key security items that we'll get into in detail in the next phase, about their recommendations on how to notify, which is a key element. As you know, the school in Connecticut was locked down. Mm-hmm. The shooter shot his way into the building. So we won't have the methods to lock the doors automatically here. But one of the key components is once an event starts, is being able to notify the people in the classrooms from anywhere in the school.
School.
And we're going to talk in detail
panic
about
buttons,
it. It's really an IT item. Mm-hmm. And so we think the secure approach is to figure out how to rig the school up IT-wise so that we can notify people quickly.
And doors can get...
Can doors automatically be locked?
Doors can get shut automatically anyway. And they will certainly in an event when there's one of those codes. So during the next phase, we really need to work with the IT department in detail all that. But we didn't change the design of the school.
But you have taken it into consideration.
It is a very serious concern.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
That will be worked out in the next phase.
Okay.
More technical.
But the structure itself, the shooting capability is obviously minimized at this point.
We have doors, secure doors, and we have gates and all of that, and we still have it. We already have it.
Okay.
But we need to do to install the technology so that, and of course, I'm sure that school districts like KBT are thinking about what kind of security personnel need to be stationed.
Mm-hmm. You know, with Connecticut, one of the things that they had to do, which because they didn't have, and this is a pretty affluent area, and the school was, the only way they notified is because they were able to get to the intercom and turn it on.
Right.
It because there was no general alarm. There was no general, and that's what I'm saying. If there's a general, if you can do like a you know, a switch to lock doors immediately, and then also have multiple entry and multiple points that you can let people know that there's an incident that's happening.
Multiple points is the key.
And what happened at that school, there wasn't. And it was just the fast thinking of the principal that she went by right before she was killed to stop it. She flipped it.
Exactly. Wow.
And that's what they heard. And that's how, so there was never a call to say that this is an emergency.
What happened is there was only one point of source of notification.
Right.
He actually shot and killed some of the people there. So
and they got it before, right.
The Ingersoll Rand people were telling us that the key is we need multiple points where we can notify the entire school.
Right.
Not just a single point of notification. Right. And they have the systems that we can do that.
Right.
So on that note, though, one of the things that we've been working with Tony and IT is, and I don't know, I know that they met with Hugo, but like MyTech, and it may not necessarily be that company, but it has voice over IP speaker systems. Yeah. So now that we're doing the VoIP phones, mm-hmm. you know, and we were talking about how we can coordinate that with your PA system. Mm-hmm. So this building and our projects, we're hoping we're not providing a PA system. We're providing the so anybody, there must be a way to program, and I don't know anything about programming. But, you know, from the phone, you will be able to, you know, the way you would from the, instead of the phone speaker, you'll be able to broadcast that from any telephone.
That'd be really
nice. In any classroom. So any teacher could have witnessed the shooting, taken her telephone, because now you just don't have one central PA point, you know.
It's decentralized PA.
Right, and now
it's what Northwest uses now.
Right, and so that's what we're moving towards. Thanks for recommending that person over there.
You have sections of building here. I mean, obviously one way is notification. And the other thing is obviously automatically locking doors. But because you do have these sort of sections, is there any consideration in possibly having sort of lockdown gates that have been employed in other areas? Or is that something that would just kind of militarize the school?
Well, it's something that has to be thought about carefully. The first thing we had, I've designed prisons before where the gates all slam shut. Because in that situation, you have to. But when the gates slam shut, now nobody can get out. And it can work against you.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
We have to think it through very carefully.
About yeah.
What and not prevent the fire codes won't allow us to lock people in.
Yeah, you need an escape route as well as closing off an entry.
Some double egress capacity here, so it's got to be thought about carefully. We can do a lot.
I just don't want to become a militarized one. I'm just wondering if that was thought about because it is sectioned, and you could almost section it off, and they could run out the back or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually have done kind of your concept that you're talking about, but that's only for when you want to have some type of events. For example, the library could be open after hours. Mm-hmm. There's a way you can lock down the other doors so they don't go into the administration area, to the other area. So we have that concept implemented, but it's not in case of an emergency that locks down like that.
What is the one across from the library, the purple? Mm-hmm.
That's a computer lab.
The computer lab.
That could be shared by the middle school and the elementary side.
Two entrances.
But it has different, like, intrusion zones. That's one of the things that we talk about with our consultants, not just for the community, but let's just say so that you can lock down the whole school except for the admin, if the admin is sitting after hours. Or it has another area for, like, the kitchen cafeteria, kind of so that you could go into the gym, have a catered event, or, you know, and lock that down. So we put, like, five different areas just for other.
Yeah, any questions? You go to the next sheet, the lower level. One of the things that we change and you will see here is the cafeteria. We enlarged that cafeteria. Now there are some bleachers. There's also the stage that will be
cool.
The kitchen before, you've seen it before, we reduced the kitchen. Now we only have one dishwasher or culinary space. Now to the left, we have the two science lab and the two and the four classroom. Those are part of your base bid now. Before they were alternate, now they're included as part of the base bid. At the side of the elementary side, at the end, we have those two other classrooms that we added And those classrooms are basically just going to be the shell at this point. And it might be that, you know, providing a door and just finishing them might not be that expensive. So I'm not sure if we can just do them.
We can negotiate with them a little bit. We can say, you know, we'll give you the job if you throw in.
Yeah.
It's true.
Is there?
You can't do that.
Yeah. Is it my eyesight or is this hallway that goes to the gym? Does it?
Yes.
Okay.
And what it's doing is because at one point you're probably going to have a game. And
yeah,
there's
I understand.
Quite a bit of people, so it allows for more people to come.
I understand.
And I talked with Sandra Otenberg from Clint, and they love the plastic flooring for you.
Well, for the cafeteria.
Yeah.
Remember I said we're going to have to go with a rubberized tub.
Mm-hmm. Right, for the basketball.
Yeah.
They love it. They say it's great.
You want
it's a rollout product.
A rollout vinyl type, right, or rubberized?
This is one product, one type, and basically one I just...
You know, Sandra? She's your counterpart.
I have an idea.
This is what it is, Oscar.
This is not the Mondo, but that's similar to Mondo. Which is all purpose, and basically it's used for basketball.
I like that one.
And weightlifting.
Oh, this one's pretty sporty.
It's not a hand.
That's a good one for a jacket.
Yeah.
Well, those kids are going to be on
not
the
a Gucci purse, Lori.
Or even jewelry, right?
Yeah, you got to turn on the.
These are really nice.
Yeah. And there's more colors.
Yeah, okay. I like. And this so one, did you see how that one kind of looks wood?
Yeah.
It's just like this
you
is
can
beautiful.
Do logos, you
they're
can
really
do,
nice.
You can do logos on them?
Oh, yeah.
That's the one.
So you're going to lay this out and then it's there forever?
Uh-huh. Does it tear?
It's pretty durable.
Yeah, very
wow.
Durable.
You know what, who I think has one of those
the
is
that looks pretty good.
Here close by is Mount Franklin Christian Academy.
Has that type of
on their gym.
I like this one the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, since it's since it, you get it striped, actually you could go in any color you want. The one we did actually looked like
orange.
A wood floor.
Yeah,
but you could do an orange one, I guess. Or
orange wood?
Blue. Orange wood.
Orange
with blue striping.
Blue.
They use more natural. Like more natural, the blue wood.
Blue wood.
There you go. And we kept the courtyard. And last time you guys noticed that there is kind of a dashed line, kind of the middle location. Mm-hmm. So you actually, from this point, can go up there and you'll be under the library covered portion. I think that will be a nice picture.
Yeah. Oh, this looks beautiful. Patsy.
So the next renderings are basically the what we did. We kind of took the entire... you're going to see several... pictures and basically what it's doing is going around the entire building.
That's right.
This will be the front of the building.
It's a long name.
To the left.
This is beautiful.
To the left,
it really
there's
is.
That fence, which it's, can you guys see that? Yeah. It's not, it has a solid, it's going to have a solid panel that you won't be able to look in, but you'll be able to open the doors, and those doors are about 12 feet wide.
Wow.
You have plenty of people to come.
So you're like opening gates.
Yeah, exactly.
More like a gate.
Point again where it would go, please.
I'm sorry? Oh.
Kind of the entrance.
Like all
down
this,
here.
All this area right here.
Yeah, white
this
area.
This is like all the area. These are all the gates to the courtyard.
Okay.
You could say.
Right. Oh, okay. That. Okay.
Wow. And the portion next to it, that's your main entrance to the building.
That.
And to the right, that's the elementary side, the pre-K first grade of this area. And we're suggesting that since the name of the school, I think it's going to be pretty long, that we're going to have the letters on the floor, on the ground, so they, you know, you get... see them and the kids be able to sit on them or just an idea.
They won't kick them down and be better.
No, how are you going to put them in the ground so they'll be permanent in the ground?
They're permanent.
Oh, no. And I think you could make lots of lesson plans just with that
Okay. They're not on the ground, so. Okay.
Have you guys been to Crave on the east side? They have like these big metal letters. They're really cool because they're, you know, they're about, you know, a little less than shoulder height, you know. It's nice.
It would be beautiful if they were in the metal and silvery chrome.
That or let them rust the,
yeah.
The metal.
Okay.
That is
quite a real idea. And we probably need a confirmation from you all when we get to the point in terms of the name of the school.
Only one cistern now?
We still have two.
Two?
There's
two.
One here to the right and there's the other one.
Okay.
Okay.
It would be ex-congressman?
No. Come on now.
Oh, easy. You're congressman for life?
Yes.
You are.
You get retirement for life.
You get all the benefits for life.
Mm-hmm. You do.
Yeah, they do.
So we go to the next one.
Oh my God.
That shows the portion of the middle school side. Here we have the entrance to the gym. And this box here is the gym area.
Where?
We're creating some reveals throughout the exterior walls.
Are those panels, are they lit natural light in? Is that what
they're like? Yeah, these panels here would let.
And you can turn them, you can kind of like blinds.
These panels we're thinking are more like the
translucent ones. So light
the rays. The sun doesn't go through completely, mm-hmm. but you see light coming through.
And this is like such a nice. I mean, you're confirming with your consultants that there aren't going to be any mechanical units on the.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, we're going to put them on the side, on the opposite side. And it's just going to go through the curve.
Okay. It'll be clean.
Okay, you might want to check with them.
Yeah, they might have it there, but.
Yeah, you'll ask them to move it if you're showing it on your mechanical drawings.
There's still coordination that we have to do to these packages.
Since it's a piping system, you don't really need the units, but the air handling units are the ones that get us, where you have to bring in outside air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we definitely have to coordinate that portion.
Yeah, because you just received the drawings.
This is the design development package. We still have quite a bit of to do there.
Okay.
And the other one, obviously, just going around the entire building.
Look at that. It's lovely.
Look at the size of those windows.
Yeah.
That this portion here.
Who gets to wash these?
It's the science lab. Yeah. And the two science labs and the four classrooms.
Yeah, this is a nice
school. Another entrance to the side of the middle school. On the play fields.
So another thing that we talked about with our civil engineer and that we're working on is putting together a storm drainage, especially for your interior courtyard and then that one main entrance. Mm-hmm. And so they're working on the stormwater drainage. And even in these, which aren't completely enclosed, putting some kind of trenching or a trench drain or something to make sure we get the water away from the building. That's a classic. You know?
And if you look right here by where is the courtyard, mm-hmm. you'll be able to see where
the
entrance below the library.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the stormwater can be directed into an underground cistern that we could.
Stormwater drainage into the. Is happening.
Push it towards the field. I would push it towards the.
But I mean, directed into it some type of a container unit that has a pump that during dry times maybe.
Because it's going to be. Piped underground anyways.
Yeah, there's.
Okay.
We do it underground in the courtyard. That's a great idea with the pump.
Mm-hmm.
And that pump could be used for also irrigating all the plants within the courtyard.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. God, that would be a big help.
That would be great. We can definitely.
Yeah, there's the landscape architect that they hired is real sharp. They call it Olay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Outside learning environment, right.
Cool things. Especially now that you got some shaded areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, the piping
again,
of some of the roof drains.
It's going around the entire building, and you see part of the service drive, the two gyms, and that's the elementary size at two-story level. And on the back, there's the elementary one-story level.
This is beautiful.
And obviously the other spaces. There's the library, you can see under. You could go under it.
Oh, this is really cool.
Oh, look at that.
It's a great site for views.
Yeah, this is real pretty.
You could go with it there.
This is using the land.
Yes, it is using the land, and I like it. And I like not putting a bunch of grass out here that nobody can water or mow.
Maybe I'm
So if you keep flipping, again, it gives you more information, but basically we're just going around the building.
He's almost built right there.
The materials that we're going to use, it's going to be a tilt-up panel with some metal studs and either EIF or stucco, depending on.
What about the tan, maybe? I don't know if it's brick, rock.
Yeah.
He's got a whole finished presentation ready for you.
Okay.
We actually think that's more like the stone. And we're only using it in a couple of locations, for example, that one.
Yeah, and then I see the other one.
The administration area and on the bottom of the column. So we're minimal,
okay,
just to provide some accents.
Yeah.
And there's some vertical accents through the wings.
I think this is lovely.
And it goes, again, it's coming down, doing a circle, and then the last one on the exterior basically comes back to the front of the building.
By decent trees.
We've obviously... Mm-hmm.
Appropriate
trees for this area.
We still have two. Yes.
Yeah, look, they've got the Ocotillo shrub
right
there.
Now we're
going
to have one on their front on the courtyard.
I don't think they'll even have any trees, honestly. I know you need them for some window shade.
Yeah. A nice
the next
ones, or a nice
those are interior spaces.
So we wanted, because the board agenda action item is to approve their design development and to move forward to 50% construction documents. So we wanted to be sure that you got some interior renderings of like some of the critical areas, like the libraries and the classrooms, so that before they got in here, like, oh, yeah, like we were all on the same page.
So this is looking...
Oh, look at this.
This is real pretty, yeah.
That's
the they'll have... Huh?
This is basically going into the library and looking out towards the courtyard.
It'll be nice.
The windows space. That you see here,
yeah,
in the
this
back.
Is beautiful.
Looking towards the west.
Towards the...
South.
North.
North?
Okay, there's only one more direction.
Yeah, it's looking...
So is it looking into the courtyard?
Yes.
I don't know, my guy doesn't
have
an arrow on it.
That's
right. You're right. The front door is north, which is nice. And
right.
So the library actually faces south.
Right. So that's why these panels will get a lot of natural light.
Yes.
So this is to give you an idea of the level of finishes as far as like flooring, ceilings, you know.
So that's looking south, correct? And basically, we're giving you the four different... size of the interior of the space for the, I guess this one is probably
it kind of gives me a reminder of AMS, you know, the library.
It looks like the interior of the library.
Yeah, looking for the
elevation. What are the elevations? What are the four elevations?
Yeah,
this looks nice.
Again, this is a work in progress. There's still, we can make changes, adjustments.
I like this wall.
I do too.
That we have to work in.
I'm afraid it's going to be expensive. I still want it. Mm-hmm.
We
look at all your computers.
We don't have that
here.
Separate reading room. It's just the
we do, and it's.
I think I saw
it's right
that
where?
Right here on. I thought what it would be a separate reading room.
Yeah, right here, Sergio.
Oh here, yeah, the panel that separates it out.
Lower, okay. Lower
okay.
Okay.
There we go.
I think.
And again, it's kind of what. Work
yeah, that.
Yeah.
Designs.
Yeah.
We still have
yeah.
to do a little more
that.
Detail.
Yeah,
make it
that's
more
what I thought was
yeah.
the separate reading room.
For the
right.
Because. AMS has.
And on that space okay. is going to have the tier seating area, so when they're reading books, they can be around the instructor who's whoever's doing it. This one here shows the circulation desk where we have the offices, the main location of the what we call the heart of the library of the entire building. Okay. And to the right, you see the that curved wall that you see outside basically coming through, and the inside spaces is the same thing. Whatever material we use outside, we're going to bring it
oh,
in.
Cool. And in the library, this is a shared library, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
And in that, so what I'm gathering from what Sergio's saying is that in that little behind the yellow wall part, that'll be kind of snuggly and cozy for the little ones.
That's what we're going to...
Because right, this yeah. looks beautiful for the big ones,
right,
but
right.
it looks a little...
Correct. We still have to do a little more of design and make it nice for the little ones.
For, okay.
Then there's
it's
the,
a beautiful classroom.
The other view.
You think that's a teacher's desk? Yeah.
Look into the curtain wall.
case or something.
The other four interior views are basically typical interior view for a classroom.
Is this underneath, or is this just any classroom?
This is kind of your standard classroom. Obviously, the pre-K has the restroom and a little more different walls that come inside.
What about the desk that's in here? Is that just the teacher's desk?
We show that just a representation, you guys. It's kind of your
furniture.
That would
look nice.
Might be something you guys want to buy.
The teachers like that.
We don't know.
But what if this is included? I mean, let's just say, okay, this is in your base bid, and then, like, let's just say here along here, is this all the computer desks are in your millwork package?
No, all that right now is your furniture.
Again, we picked something that looks good there, but might not be what you guys selected.
So same thing with the back wall.
We can also help you with that.
This is millwork. For the back wall, we have the whiteboards.
Yes, ma'am.
So,
and those little cubbies.
Yes.
So that's separate.
That really doesn't look like that in reality.
So you're saying, all right.
No, it's all millwork.
The marker boards and tack boards.
Yes.
GC. We provide the teacher's desk,
right.
And then the computer stations, are those millwork,
no.
Or are those
Right now we have them as furniture.
As Biona?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And then the other walls, Biona?
No.
Like
this one is millwork.
The one that says east?
This one is millwork.
This one's millwork?
And it has sliding marker boards, so behind... Behind the sliding marker boards, they're going to have a storage for their books.
We had that.
Those little cubbies underneath, so those drawers are.
That's an open millwork. So we're showing.
So it's either going to be
plain.
Like that. It's either going to be
plastic containers, but it's
just
going to be
cabinets,
or it can be like this. But
so those are white
boards.
These are white boards,
and
they're going to be sliding. So behind that, you're going to have some
wonderful.
So then on this wall here, which wood are you going
to have? Yeah, this would be nice, too, to just have doors. Yeah, for babies.
Your early elementary.
Yeah, but the big ones.
So if that's the case, can we not include the rest? So basically, it's everything except that one wall. Can we not just go ahead and include the other wall?
Yeah, they have those everywhere.
Everywhere.
You could, it's up to you, but again, that changes
this is
the
real
budget,
nice.
And we had it separate as a furniture.
Well, if you were going to do three out of the four walls,
You guys have a furniture budget, so you would move it to the contractor.
Money out there, we can do it that way.
But I think it's cheaper if you guys buy it because the contractor has to
get his 10 cents worth.
The furniture has a lot more flexibility. That's one of the attractive things about the furniture for us is that it can be changed. Millwork, once it's built,
I was thinking that the whole thing would be a separate, that you would include it, that you would do all of it, but that you would break out all of this as a separate package. You know what I'm saying? Like, in other words, so that
as your CMR, they would provide that as a separate package.
Right. Yeah. So you would include, like, so that we would include, you know, that one wall. So now these three walls, you could put that as a separate package, and then at the time you could be like, all right, break it in or include it.
Yeah, that's what Oscar was saying. He can do that when he put out the package just for bit.
The millwork package.
Right. So that way we would want to go ahead and include the third wall.
But do you want a millwork or furniture? Because we're saying that furniture is probably better for you guys. If you want to change it, you want to do something else. On
updated,
that location.
Updated.
Oscar, what do you suggest?
The millwork guys are good at let's call it almost regular millwork.
Yeah.
When you get into computer tables, you know, you need like gauntlet locations.
Right.
And the right heights. And then maybe even a little sliding door for a keyboard. And that usually comes better from furniture
makers.
They get a lot of kids start breaking the millwork on the computer location because they're always there.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a furniture, you can take that out.
This put in a new one.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
That's what we're suggesting.
Okay.
And this is
kind of
like what was done at Garcia.
Yeah, and that's why when I saw this, I'm like, I've seen this before.
And AMS at the sixth grade wing, they have those whiteboards with the bookcases, and I don't know how many years they've been there. You know,
they're sturdy.
They're still there. I mean, and you know what? It takes away so much of the clutter of the classroom when you have that, because you know, teachers, what they're going to do is they're going to put bookcases and they're going to put it right in front of your heat and register. I'm sure that's only happened in my schools, but I mean, you know, and then you go in and wonder why the room is so damn cold.
Give them the space, build it in. I love this concept.
And this package here is basically our submittal design development. And again, this is the technical part. If you guys want to have any questions, we can discuss it.
See, this is a little different.
We want to discuss the structural. But again,
are we in a flood zone?
No.
They totally rectified that. Yeah. And there's another acronym.
Except for the elementary part.
That's okay. They swim. So bad. In the original environmental study, I think, it might have even been in the original documents to buy the land. That was originally a flood zone, but they did the work, the engineering, to cause that not to be. And then it turned into, help me, like an LMAC, an LPAS, LE something.
I'm not familiar with that term, but I know they spent a tremendous amount of money to fix the drainage problem, so right. Our site no longer has it.
So you think we are totally fine and clear?
There's actually a letter.
There is.
FEMA. Yeah,
but that's the letter I'm talking about.
From FEMA's indicating that this is not.
And we've seen the letter, and I know the acronym, but I can't think of it.
Lomar.
It's something. I think you could be right. It's very close
is
to that.
Right?
Yes, it's Lomar, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would never guess that one.
Well, just north of this, or northwest of the northeast of this, is that giant drainage.
That is correct. That's for that.
They diverted it up to that.
They diverted it.
Ponding.
And is it their pipe that goes underneath?
Yeah.
Next to the
bring
one
that
that's further.
That's good.
To the east of us.
That is correct.
So it's not anywhere underneath. It's going around.
Yeah.
It's going over here.
So, yeah.
Little butterfly garden.
Because we're connecting to some of that park. I mean, there's a park that's over here.
And that's probably,
park
that
is
will
the rest of us.
So there's a trail that leads to that, right?
Oh,
there's
here's
a
all
trail
the,
along,
here's all the stuff.
Cool.
Oh,
the
look at that.
Northern Pass or Paseo del
Norte? Paseo del Norte. That's already going in. Have you seen it?
Okay. Yeah. Oh,
these are all nice. There's your Mesquite.
I drive by there every day. Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
We do have to drainage within our property.
I don't know if that will grow. God, the pinyon pine. I really like them. I was just asking
really?
Jasmine the other day. They only grow here.
On this corner?
Because I'd like to have one here.
So
is that what those were? I was wondering what those
this
were.
Is great.
So everything that drains
okay, we're going to the next one.
There's
an apple tree.
To
the big one by...
Oh, that will bloom.
Yeah.
My apple tree does beautifully.
Those are huge.
Mine is a granny.
So we have a couple more items related to the pre-K. Did you want to give us a quick update on the lead? We revised those points.
This is exactly, and we finally just, that's it. Yeah, same thing.
So
we did too.
I get it this big.
So in regards to the lead, our commissioning agent, PSC, he's
and
under
and
contract.
And
Carl Daniel has forwarded him all the material. They're working on their OPR, which is their owner project requirements, which is the first step. We've updated the points we're pursuing, and pretty much humming along there on the lead side of it.
On the lead document, the only objection I have is to the wood.
What's the issue with the wood?
What's wrong with the wood?
Where's the wood?
Get
lead certified wood.
Certified wood.
Oh, the Forest Management Council.
It only comes like from California, and it's very expensive to track it.
The wood, but what wood?
The millwork would have to have it.
Oh.
Well, it would.
It's only
though,
one point.
But if you put that as a separate package, let's just say the building doesn't all the wood. In other words, there's none because we provide. We anticipate Ron and I that we might break that out and do it owner provided. So then it wouldn't have to count towards your lead points. You could say all of it, but it might just be like,
No.
I mean, we've even gotten into arguments over the forms that we use for the concrete.
That will be part of the.
So we would
need to.
Okay. So.
All the rest of it.
Just that one. And we expect some of this will change. The document that I handed out is just really a rough.
It's how we make it.
Yeah, these are our target points that we're shooting for, I believe, and it will actually evolve and change. Yeah. And if you look down at the bottom, you'll see over to the right, targeting 54 points right now, which puts us in silver. But we always, when we submit a lead project, some of them are rejected, but it would put us back into the certification category. We did get Chester Jordan lead certified silver. We did a good enough job there, and we're going to try it here so we can get silver. But some of the points, like Oscar said, if we wind up giving up the point for the wood and picking up another point over here, this will fluctuate a little bit. But right now, these are the points that we're targeting and going after. There's a bunch of them in sustainable sites, which has to do with the site light pollution, for instance, on the lights and all that kind of stuff. A site master plan. The joint use facilities, we get a point if you guys simply approve a letter that says that you will allow the library and some other meeting rooms to be used by the community in the afternoons or evenings. And if we do, we get a point for that. Most school districts do get joint use of their school. A lot of schools are used by churches, auditoriums and things like that. So these are just our target points.
Like occasionally? Used by someone is enough, because we just had, I want to say, the Jehovah Witnesses come in and ask to use one of our cafeterias.
It would just be like those prior approvers, the ones that Martha Aguirre has that form that they pay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand.
It would be like, you know.
And the district could start, you know, like, don't buy the styrofoam cups anymore.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we could even do that, like with the cafeteria, and use something that's biodegradable.
Yeah.
What about increased ventilation that has...
The increased ventilation is actually something that we did not attempt on Chester Jordan, because it does require a lot more expense in the air conditioning systems. We chose to get it in other ways, outdoor delivery monitoring and the indoor air quality management plan during construction and all the other X's that you see. But right now we're not targeting increased ventilation. If it may... move over to the other category if we find out we can do it efficiently. I think we have to get into some opening windows when we do that, and we don't really want to do that.
Okay.
You know, with their winds.
Well, if you open windows, it just causes the system to go haywire too. Mm-hmm. So right now we're not targeting increased ventilation.
So the next thing that's pretty critical for us is the utility locations. So we've pretty much got that squared away. This week we have a drawing that shows our path to where we'd like to for AT&T. We will have two fire hydrants, a private hydrant, which is kind of set out back from the service yard, and a public hydrant that's in the middle school parent drop-off area. We know where our sewer connection is going to be. We've got our electrical transformers located. And so now that we've got all that squared away, it's back on Canutio today for us to start sitting down with them. So those are some of the things that we finalized since we got back in January. So I just wanted to let you know that we had all of that. Did you guys have any additional questions as far as gas, electrical, sewer, AT&T, water, yard meters, domestic meters?
Fire protection.
Fire protection. No, you guys are good.
I had a question, more just, I guess. You have all these flat roofs. Was there ever a consideration in this to put solar in this, or is this not even something you want to touch? Solar?
I mean, I think probably.
We actually had a meeting with a gentleman who has a firm in El Paso that provides solar panels to clients. And we talked to him. I didn't bring it with me tonight, but we do have some preliminary costs from him about adding solar panels. The solar panels for generating electricity and stuff, if we were to go in a large scale, they don't really pay off. But we really want to do a little bit of it. as an example.
Yeah,
and have some amount of that in the building and some of the flat roof somewhere. We're not sure where to place them yet. And we can achieve that with a with a little bit of money, not a great expenditure. Mm-hmm. We talked about $50,000 in that range in there. And so we will probably include that type of thing in the roof panels of some of the building, but not in a way that it's producing a great deal of electricity for us. We'll produce a little bit and enough to be on the gauge in the lobby, but not enough to run our stuff.
And VMAC had this idea that maybe one way to do it was through the parking lot lighting. Remember, I mean, we had talked about that briefly. And so it is pretty cost prohibitive, but maybe we can do a few things like that.
Yeah, because you're turning this into sort of a learning environment with cisterns. You got all
exactly.
You know, it just with so much sun that we have here, you're trying to teach that renewable energy.
We're probably one of the lessons that I've learned, lesson learned, is I just did the Army Reserve Center on Montana Street.
Yeah.
And we told the electric company that the solar panels were an option, that it wasn't going to be exercised. So the electric company charged nothing to provide the service, okay? And then they even went as far as to give us a meter, but then they exercised the option and we did a solar field in the back and a bunch of solar panels, and the electric company removed their meter and said, we're angry with you.
They charge you to generate your own electricity.
Yes, yes. So you got to, I think the path that we're doing kind of is a teaching path.
Yes.
You know, more than trying to.
Yeah, because I've heard
more than trying industry. To supplant their.
Yes, yes, they're very territorial about that.
You would think.
Yes, they are.
I was surprised.
Really? No, when we did the report, I was blown away that they actually charge you to generate your own electricity.
Yes.
I actually had to go buy a meter. And then buy a meter so that they could turn on their lights.
It's wrong on so many levels.
So,
thank you for answering the
question. You want to do it yourself, it's going to cost you more.
So the agenda item had misapproval of that pending some comments. So one of the things that we're working on that we'll be submitting is I met with Johnson Controls on Tuesday. And so Johnson Controls is providing a standard new construction guidelines, and it's basically just going to be like a little bit on light fixtures. Since they're doing some roofing, they went ahead and gathered the information for us, which is really generous of them as far as the roofing project that we did district-wide, which is basically like a Carlisle TPO. Mm-hmm. So it's just some stuff like that, really simple stuff that we're trying to standardize just across the board.
Sure.
So we'll be getting that to them as part of that. And the last thing we wanted to talk about was the schedule. Did you want to go over your finishes?
We didn't have time to put a color board, but we're going to do the color board for the next board.
Okay.
We'll bring something to show you. But you know, I just got a couple of items like ceramic tile. There's plenty of different colors that we can choose for. This is floor for the like the restrooms. Some other colors that we can select. So there's plenty of priority of colors for ceramic that we can select. As you can see, there's bright colors.
You know, one of the things I had suggested.
Yes, and we are standardizing between the other architects.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's really ironic. And I told Carl that his three colors that he selected as accents are very similar to the ones that they chose at CMS.
Perfect.
So we're trying to cross, right? And so I said, you know, if I get it from everybody, and we're going to try to unify so that we have a standard color board,
mm-hmm.
and that now everyone can pick off of that for things that they
exactly,
select.
Exactly, because you know, when I saw that color board for CMS, it was great. But then you see another campus that has completely different colors.
Right.
Seven campuses, not bad right now. We may have to double that, and that becomes a nightmare.
Right. So, but getting back to the standardization, we're working on that amongst the three architects. But on another level, we're working that Hydrometrics, which is a subconsultant of Johnson Controls, doing that as far as plumbing, as far as electrical, as far as mechanical. They have some recommendations there. Ceiling tiles, roofing. So Johnson Controls has been really helpful in putting together that. So So they're having that by the end of this month, and we're meeting again on that. So
great, yeah. Anything you can do that.
And for us, that timing is perfect because this is where we want to integrate it into our
future plan. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's some of the colors we picked. Again, there can be changed.
But they're very, very similar. So that was kind of like
that
perfect.
Yellow and
the
green.
The administration areas with more earth tones, and then you saw some of the yellow colors, a few ones on the classrooms and libraries.
Those are almost exactly like CMS's.
Yeah, isn't that? Yeah.
We didn't know that when we did it.
Yeah, Garcia, when she picked.
They have a crocodile tears, which is a little bit greener than
that's
that.
That's what that green is right there, crocodile tears.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I said, what the heck?
Great name.
I know, that's the only reason why I remember it.
Fried alligator?
Pardon?
Yeah, and we read the covenant and the exterior colors, and Carl and I talked about that because the other guy from Hunt is a good friend of Carl's, and so, you know, I read through it and we're pretty comfortable, so we'll come back next month.
When he had said, one of the meetings I went to, he was pretty...
He's pretty
open to what.
Yeah. What we want to do.
I mean,
is
neon. He might get upset.
Let's get our school design and colors and present it to them. But he was there when we had the orange cone.
Yeah.
And he did.
He said, "We're okay. We're just get your stuff together and show it to us, and they'll be okay."
Yeah.
So we just want to
We don't have it anymore.
So we want to get moving. So you know, they're working on colors, and we're reading the covenant. Maybe next month we'll do the selections. And then once we get that finalized with everybody, then maybe in the next month we'll get to, talking with Hunt, you know, after we've settled, you know, some stuff, so.
There's the neon pink and blue hall.
What?
And still have it.
On the note of colors, we have this one item, which is your CW local policy. Mm-hmm. It says, and this is one of the ones that should be, once a school is named and a principal is assigned, the principal shall establish a committee to recommend a school mascot and colors.
Sometimes.
And so we were hoping that in lieu of, that it would be kind of helpful maybe if you wanted any of that to be taken into consideration for those colors and mascot to be done by the board, kind of like the name of the school in lieu of the principal. Or wow, I just needed a little bit of direction, you know, like what you know. Because a principal might be like a year and, you know,
it's
down the line,
year,
in the meantime, Carl and Ugo are
year and
here,
a half
and
down the road.
I just thought maybe you might want to reconsider this.
You know, that area, I hike the mountain a lot,
right.
And there are beautiful red-tailed hawks up there
right.
that fly, and the hawk's tail is very much, what's the other one? It's that one. It's very much the color.
Oh, on it.
Yeah. You know, this rusty, rusty color,
rustic red,
and it's a very rusty, deep red color, and you know, that might be a consideration.
Red-tailed hawk? Red-tailed hawk, yeah.
Yeah. I think most people, you probably called him a rat-tailed hawk when you were growing up. it is like the Ocotillo. It's native to the land.
A pelican or a what?
Or stork. That's our president's suggestion.
I think a red-tailed hawk would be fine.
The hawks are great, but would this be something we'd have to modify in order for this kind of move forward? Is that what you're
suggesting? Yeah, I think so. And is everybody a type of eagle? I mean, it's really not. But I'm just saying, how would we, I don't know, maybe an expert here, how would we go about if we wanted the board to, or a committee, or how would we...
We'd have to put it on the next, an item on the, to decide if we're going to do that and submit it to the board to change the policy or to exempt it from this school to do a permanent policy so that we can do the colors now.
Mr. Chairman, that's a great policy, but I wasn't able to pick AMS colors.
Which I think
is... Nor was I able to pick the mascot. So
or Childress.
I really think what you need to do is especially with the new school, and it's going to take a while. I do think you'd have to just go in there and probably even, especially coming down the line, we're going to be doing multiple schools down the line. Maybe if we recommend taking that out.
That's kind of what I
rather than even just suspending it, because whatever we modifying is to take that area out, because we're going to be doing, we had multiple at like the star design that we had at Davenport, and you had at Bill Childress, and you have at Jose Damian. So there could be, if you have that, and then you can just go.
Yeah, facilities does not recommend that the principal.
You know,
it's very dependent.
What we could do is take it out And what we can do is just solicit suggestions from
absolutely
from the
the community at large.
right?
Well, it would be the 5th, 6th, and 7th graders that the year before, like for us now, would be the 4th, 5th, and 6th graders that eventually will be mm-hmm. over there and solicit suggestions, and then we still make the decision. Yes.
What is my next step?
Without having to wait.
For this? I think what we do is we I was going to tell you.
We have white pelicans, too. They go through. Yeah, they don't go on the mountain, but they do go on the mountain.
We'll bring up CW Local at the next policies committee, this committee.
And they're all...
I put it as an agenda item.
We put it as an agenda item.
Well, it is an agenda item.
To strike it?
No, no, but this would be just the committee. We would recommend this to the full board.
Is it on the agenda tonight?
Yeah,
so if it's on tonight.
It's on tonight.
Well, how does it read?
It just says policy, the selection of school colors, like discussion.
So does then, Mr. Coronado, does this committee then recommend?
We can recommend to the board if we want to take it out, suspend it for now.
To delete that?
That's giving the principal a lot of leeway on a campus.
To just delete it from the
I would delete it personally.
Policy and that be the recommendation?
That would be my recommendation for the next, because we're going to be in the process of building multiple schools from now on, and it's just going
to... We need to standardize and save money.
And if community members, I mean, I'm just saying, that's why I'm thinking if you take it out, because if that's in there, that could cause angst later. Mm-hmm.
And I remember we did GES, we had the same issue. We started buying furniture.
Yeah.
Colors of furniture.
Thank you.
Chairs.
You're right. I remember that.
Because the principal got to choose. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, we foresee, and this is later on in the schedule, we foresee, forming a purchasing kind of committee with different members so that it's a good long-term color.
Truly, that color scheme that he just showed.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got the blue sky. Mm-hmm. You've got the green ocotillo, the, what did y'all call it?
Yeah,
the crocodile tears.
Yeah, we literally have, like, no comments.
You've got the orange, which is the bright orange. You know, those are pretty much the colors of the land up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for maybe you'd need a little darker brown thrown in.
Yeah.
And AMS has got that orange and the grayish color there.
Red. Yeah, a rust red and maybe, you know, two darker colors.
Yeah, I think you need at least one or two darker colors.
To throw in there, and I think you'd have a beautiful color palette.
So,
and then you would also have that bird's colors wrapped up within your school. Yeah. You got the brown, you got the rust.
The policy?
Gives us a couple of chances to do the logo for you, too.
Who's got their rubbing phone to come up with a...
We did a scorpion once, and everybody said it looked like a crab.
Laura recommended it. Do you want to recommend to the board to suspend that portion of the policy, and then we can redraft a different one later?
Okay, so I can submit that.
Okay, so and then do
you
do
with it?
Yes.
What are you guys talking about... suspending that portion of the policy for naming, allowing the principal to name school colors and mascots, since we're not naming it yet, and we would like to have some kind of a decision on colors for the school so that can be incorporated into the building phase.
The colors Letty has on are like the colors that should be added to the color palette.
There you go.
And Rachel, both of y'all.
The two dark colors. Yeah. You need two with the earth tone.
All right. Okay, well, we'll recommend to the board to do that.
So I'll submit that.
All right.
And that brings us to the last and our most critical thing here at the pre-K through 8. Basically, that is in regarding to the schedule, because there's some... because we're looking for a little direction in that. So basically what this is there's two colors. There's orange, which appears to look like red on the printout, but all of that is the pre-K through 8, and that's what we'll talk about now. And then, you know, so that Carl Daniel and Ugo can get some rest afterwards, the ones in blue are the timeline for all other bond projects having to do with the other three architects. So what we were looking at, and then there is, so what we're looking at is everything in orange. So
you mean red?
I mean red, yes. So right here we're at next week, presentation of the 100% design development.
Okay.
On page 2, on January 22nd board meeting. Mm-hmm. 8 weeks from that we have, February, well, we give ourselves 10 days, you know, to give any comments. We have construction materials testing that we're submitting in March. I'll just skip along then. In April, you see red again, 50% construction documents from Carl Daniel. April 19th, we give them any comments on that. They're scheduled to finish their 100% CDs June 21st. We submit for permitting. We give them comments. They're integrated into the plans. July 15th, all distribution of the CDs to the CMR for pricing. We do have an agenda item for this week, for this coming week. Part of Carl Daniel's contract has a third party estimating, if that's something that you all want to consider. You know, I'm just putting that on the table. So July 17th, the CMR goes out for his guaranteed maximum price estimating. CDA, if that's approved, does their estimating. We allow 6 weeks for that, for them to get good prices. We got a little bit of input from that from some CMRs as far as timelines. August 29th through September, negotiations. September 17th, the final GMP submitted to the board for approval. Groundbreaking, the execution, the PO, October, pre-con meetings, construction of 15 months, punch list, owner items starting March 1st, final cleaning. No, I mean, final cleaning was my big lesson from the last job, how much time that takes of all the, you know,
yeah,
ribbon cuttings, full occupancy. And then on June 8th, the hope is that we wanted the ribbon cutting to be in June so that everybody could still be there from school. You know, no one's taken off for the summer. And June 8th, we wanted to deliver it to academics so that then warehouse could begin receiving academic material only. That means facilities steps out as the building is done, the furniture is in place. Now, school, Panfiero, you can move in with all your teachers. You can start collecting all your books and your pencils, and we're, like, fully out of there before all of that happens, you know. So. And so that they're there all summer to build their team, to, you know, I mean, it's a large cohort of new teachers, whatever that entails, which I have no idea. And then August 17th, everybody comes back to school, and then the 24th school starts. This is your standard timeline, okay, with 15 months construction and everything. Now, so the big question is, this is August of 2015, 13. With them occupying all summer. So the question is, there may be a shot that you may want to, hard-pressed, but we could do it, to start if you wanted to start, like, in January of that year. In order to do that in January, and I'm not guaranteeing, I'm just saying we have a shot. I always try to, like, you know, aim for the stars and land for the planets. So that's your standard timeline. So what we're presenting tonight is, if the board is interested in considering, what you see in green is if you would want to expedite an earthwork package. Now, we started talking about this expediting of the earthwork package, just rough grading. Now, if we were to do this with this timeline, there would be a lag between the completion of the earthwork, 2 months, and when they would issue the overall construction package. So the question is, do you want to do an earthwork package and then the final? Do you want to consider an earthwork package, then a foundation package, and then the overall building? We estimate that the earthwork will take between 3 to 3.5 months. With foundation work alone, that's a huge chunk. Like, if you did earthwork, release that, foundations, and then release that, and then the whole building, you might get in moving along so that you could finish in. Now, keep in mind, that means that VMAC has to finish before December. He has to give us at least a couple of months to input furniture, unpack data cabling, computer, you know, so. And also realizing that, you know, historically for the district, you know, like, earthwork is kind of like, you know, I don't like to rush, but I do like to keep a real consistent pace. What are your thoughts or feelings on that, Carl, Oscar, thoughts? This is just like a discussion for whatever.
I know we've had schools sort of open in January. We did that with Garcia, where we had the two schools essentially in one campus, separate principal and all that stuff, and then we switched them over to Garcia. Mid-year, right? And it was difficult.
But if I may, I think that's okay, but I mean, to do that. But what one of the things is, now we were doing that when Jose Damian had 200 kids less, 150 kids less, and Garcia had 100 kids, about 120 kids less. So either we put them at, like, Davenport, because we can't put them at You can't put them at Garcia. You can't put them at Jose Damian. You can't put them at CE.
You're saying
and you can't put them at Garcia.
So you have to redraw the boundaries.
So I would have to, I'd only be able to put them, the only place I could put those kids, I'm telling you right now, is DDE. So I'm telling you, I cannot put those kids in the existing places. It's not like it was when we were putting in Garcia.
Oh, yeah, no, the suggestion was it was a different time back then. And this, I think you just want to start at the beginning of the school year. That's where I would go with.
The way I see it, like there's...
So you can't split is what I'm saying.
There's like maybe like three reasons that would impact it. Like one, if you want to do the three, it's to bump up your... But if that's a non-issue, you want to start in the fall.
Yeah.
There's two other reasons. One, if it's like a priority to break ground for... You know, if there's an entrance to break ground sooner rather than later, if that's a point to consider. And the third one is just the calendar that Oscar presented. Which is bidding, and I think those are the three. So I just, you know,
that would be for the next bond, but we'd want that as a...
Well, I'd like to see if we can get the earthwork started, because there's always things happen that delays.
Yeah.
So,
and that's,
we may
still
be saying we're going to finish early, but and start early, but we may start early to finish really on time.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So I
go with Sergio. Start as soon as you can.
I wouldn't delay anything. What I would say as far as school, to target for kids starting would be August of 2015.
And let's just get a jump start.
Get it going, and I mean, it's better for us.
Better to have time left.
Mr. Chair, if possible, if you finished in May, what's the problem? The principal gets over there.
You know what I mean?
Honestly, it's, do you know what I mean? It would be a win-win if you actually could turn over the school even before all the curriculum had to come in.
Right.
So that the process... process is for a principal for starting a new school. I mean, what they're talking about, they could set up
emergency
procedures.
Well, we'd hire the principal 6 months before.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That the principal could get over there. The principal, the secretary. You know what I mean? You don't believe how much work could get done just once they're in their school.
Yeah. What do you need for the earthwork to get done?
Oh, well, that's the green timeline.
But you know, one thing I wanted to interject, it seems like the majority of schools that I've done, the infrastructure, you know, I'm always building in the dark with temporary light. You know, and then suddenly they turn the lights on and everybody wants to move in, and you see,
who put that there?
You know? So the sooner we start the dirt work, the attention we get from the utility companies will be better.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it really, I think it's an advantage, because, you know, I don't know if the electric company has considered how much power they have to bring to this campus, if it's even on there. When I talked to them, I forget, last year sometime, they didn't even know about this project. You know, we're going to talk to the PSB.
Well,
they know about this project. The gas company?
Yeah, the project has gone through a lot of changes, right? So after all those things that happened, all right, like we regrouped, CDA got us those revised plans, it's January, so we got those Monday through Wednesday of this week, and so immediately, yes, that's my top priority, sit down and look at those revised transformer locations, gas meter locations, and stuff like that.
What about the high-pressure gas line that runs through?
Water. We won't tap that. That just stays.
It'll be fine. It has no problem. Okay.
There is an advantage to purchasing and getting the furniture installed in May or June rather than waiting until July or August, because that's when everybody's ordering furniture, and it slows it down, and the installations and everything. So.
And it would be great if we could get it delivered right to the school.
Oh, we will.
Oh,
we'll get it delivered to the school and set up in each classroom.
It
includes all the installation and assembly. That's the way we bid it. So they actually put it in each room. We tell them we want 25 of this desk in this room, 25 in that. Teacher's desk, teacher's
See,
computer
I think,
desk.
I think you go for the, you know, you start right away, and then you look, and if you can get in there before June, I think it's great.
So here's my next question.
Let's do that.
The way this schedule is, there's like, we kind of said before a week, so we could get a little bit, there's like that small, like, maybe like 6 to 8 week gap. I mean, do we want to unroll the earthwork package and see where we fall, and maybe they line up beautifully? Or are you going to go ahead and start planning a foundation package, or what are your thoughts?
We were just talking about it. I think Ugo's right. We are in favor of that earthwork package, the earth package. Let's get that package out. By the and we're drawing on everything at the same time. But we'll get an early airport package out. Mm-hmm. By the time we get it out, Oscar bids it out and buys it and actually moves the earth, we're going to be finished with the rest of the packaging.
So you think we'll just be right on time?
Yeah. Let's just do earthwork.
Just
and
do two.
The rest.
I think that's the best idea.
Before everybody else wants to move.
By the time he finishes that earthwork, we're going to be finished with the drawings and we've bid the whole thing.
And this is within the city limits, so we have to go through the permitting process.
That's
the dirt's easy. The rest of it, to break it up, is a little more difficult.
Yeah. So we'll do two packages, artwork and the rest.
And we're using our own dirt.
We'll have a
surplus of dirt.
Yeah,
we'll
a surplus. We do.
If you need some dirt, we can give you some dirt.
But we're not giving other developers our dirt. Dirt's valuable, right?
Not at this point.
Okay.
They're offering us dirt.
Okay. I'm just scared of dirt. I'm just going to do a pile right there. Put a security guard on
That's
it, man.
That's a lot of dirt.
So anyways, this will always be a draft, so it's basically for us to keep track. So as the earthwork package, as things, we can start, you know, tweaking the road.
And one thing about this board, you guys, these are standard board meetings, and I know that you can have special ones.
Yes.
Right, right.
Yeah, we can always have
lots of them, right?
Yeah, 72 hours, all it takes.
But in the meantime, we're, you know, trying to center it around those actions. But if Carl finishes early or something, we can draw a special one to get him moving. I mean,
right.
You know.
What's the exact timeline for Mr. Trackman?
Yes.
The exact timeline?
Timeline is complete. We're going to the construction for June.
And he has
100%.
15 months to construct.
And then February 27th for the earthwork.
To go out for a bid, do we need 100% construction documents? Or?
We'll have two sets of 100%. We'll have 100% on the rough grading package. And that one will go out
early in March.
And then we'll have a second package in June that will go out for the remaining project.
Can we move it up to February?
The earth package, we're going to put it in February.
So the earthwork package takes several
February
months.
February or March?
What are you doing?
The earth package.
February 27th, and then it'll go up to it. So by the time they finish the rough grading, he will have finished the construction documents for the remainder.
Plus, we have to worry about permitting, which was the other
right. Mm-hmm.
We have to run it through the city.
We're going to try to finish as soon as possible and push it. Finish before June, but at least we know that by June we should have 100%.
And as long as we decide at this meeting, they can focus on that dirt package.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, please. And I know your concern. I know where you're going with that. We look at all these projects and we're like, we're hitting right at the back end of some of the start of the other ones. How does it look? But, Mondo, we got some pretty good information back on the CMR. I mean, we got how many bids?
So we can show you all of those boxes lined up right there like the buffet.
But how many of them are experienced in CMR is a question.
Thing is, we're still getting them. Nobody's saying no.
We're close to it.
What I'm saying is nobody's not submitting. You know, they're at least still submitting. We're still getting interest here. It's not like all the jobs are taken.
Do you want to speak to the responses?
Oscar and I both.
Is it on the agenda?
No. For what?
We had five firms that had, let's say, plenty of CMR at risk. We had other firms that had done some CMR at risk. We had a very good packages.
So we can talk about the rollout of the remaining. I mean, we can finish talking about the schedule of the pre-K through 8 before we move on to the rollout of the other ones.
Go ahead.
You guys talk about
Well, it's because we're going to talk about the rest of the bond projects and their schedule and their rollout and our CMR RFQ and stuff. So I know that you guys would like to go to bed. So, I mean, is there any, like on the pre-K through 8 schedule?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Hey.
Great stuff.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's.
Thank you, Carl. Yeah, it's done. She already has it. Yeah.
Right there. I promised that office manager I wouldn't leave the room.
Yeah, no, she's right there. She's got it.
Get the other one tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank
guys.
You.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
So then everything in blue. the first week in January, we met with all of the architects. Hey, what do you need? We looked at all of those schedules. We reviewed the calendar, as well as like in-house, like with Ron, with VMAC, with IT. And so what we're looking at is all of the architects, they're all getting all the information. Does March 1st, the three architects are slated to turn in their design development and present that to the board in the March meeting. May 1st, they're slated to complete their 100% construction documents. And so that's how and of course, those are tied to agenda items to review the plans and to present to you all here. As we're working through that, IT and I are working side by side to do our owner items and plan that. Then there's the budget component. So in February, we had committed to submit to you guys a draft of we're presenting the owner's project budget. The only one we might not be able to get in time is the IT component. So in February, we're presenting a draft, and it's a draft because it won't have IT. And then in March, we'll come back with the owner's project budget, which will include everything, including computers, scanners, and all of that. And so we're getting all of that information from the architects. So we're lining up all of our pieces. Pre-construction things, I've asked them for their utility locations to the architects. They're committed to have those by March 1st as well. So I'm lining up after the fact, the before the fact, the design, and the last component of that is the contractor. So with the board's authorization late last year, we went out for an RFQ, and it's a two-step CMR process, which Ron has been working on really hard last winter. And what we did was we went out, there's four bundles. One is for all the projects that one architect did, Al Loya, Philo Wilkie, the three architects. And then there's a fourth bundle that's the marquees, because we took advantage of the opportunity. And the marquees will affect the Canutillo Middle School project, because since we're doing the parking lot and you have to go underground, we want to make sure we did them.
You might as well get all the electricals.
You know, that would be like the last of my worries. So we're hoping that, consistent with our policy, that we bid that we award to three contractors, and whoever gets the marquee, the Canutillo Middle School should get the marquees. And so we went out, we got an incredible response. So the first step shortlists five, no order, whatever. So each group will have five contractors. And then based on the drawings that we receive in March 1st, that after they're approved for you, those drawings will be distributed to the five. And then the five are the qualified ones that we selected as a group that were approved and that will bid the job. And so you're getting like, okay, I chose only the qualified people to bid it. So it's a very good,
two-part.
Pre-screen.
Right.
That's what the city does.
Yeah. So we put together an evaluation committee for each group, with the CMS evaluation committee doing the one for the marquees. And so, like, for example, and Jerry Gutierrez, Yvette Savino was there, Marnie Rocha was there, Jerry was there, and I was there, the four of us. Because it's qualifications, everybody can look at it. In Al Loya's group, Scott Bruce was unable to make it, and I could not reschedule. But Connie Parker participated in that one. And then in the last one, Dr. Reyes was there with the architect, and us three, we served on that committee. And during the whole process, the architect, of course, could share any experiences. Mr. Venegas was kind enough to join us, not as a scoring member, just like, hey, experience, history, and those kinds of things. And so, we got a very good showing, and so Tuesday night we're just bringing to you the top five, in no particular order. Who knows? Nobody has the crystal ball. We'll have to see how the prices come in, and we're lining that up. So it's going to work great, because just as the architects are ready, the CMR worked out from that time perspective that you had mentioned earlier. You know, because if not, we would have had a straight timeline. The architect has to finish 100%, think about to bid. So this is helping us to. So overall, the goal is that July 1st, you could break ground on your other three district-wide bond projects with the three architects. I'm pretty excited. After they're distributed, the goal is for us to negotiate in May 30th through June. We'll negotiate with the potential CMR contractors. and then we would bring it to the June board meeting for the final Jampede. There's a timeline in there for the POs, for the groundbreakings and all of that, and July 1st would be the, of course, then it'll be the 4th of July, and the contractors won't show up till July 6th or something, but whatever. So, but anyways, so that's really the goal, and so I didn't want time to be lost. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts, but that's kind of like what we're shooting for.
It's supposed to be orange.
Yeah, it's supposed to be orange.
That's great.
I'm fine. Yeah. With that. Everything looks like it's rolling now.
Amazing. Thank you. My question is, so the architect's going to have 100 completion. I mean, because the way the CMR and the architect are supposed to work, you're supposed to hire them at the same time so they could work together.
Right.
And so now we're going to hire a CMR at the tail end of the project once it's designed.
Well, here's the thing. We're going to distribute it to the CMR. The June board meeting is only for the final piece. But they're going to preliminary select it off of the design development drawings, which are completed on March the 1st. So after March the 1st, you'll be able to select. You'll be able to know who the contractors are early on. Also, another nice thing about the way that Ron wrote it is that you can break out the pre-construction fees. So they'll say, hey, how much is that? And then how much is, you know, the general contractor portion of it, you could say, right? And so we are doing kind of like a hybrid model, because really, at all the meetings with the architects, we've had VMAC there, and they have been estimating it since the schematic design. So we are following a CMR model in the sense that we have had a CMR, granted not their specific CMR, but we have had a CMR, the architects, they're doing the exact same thing as they did with the pre-K. What are some potential alternates? What are some cost savings? The exact same exercise we've been doing with VMAC, we've been doing with all the other projects. And so you could say, so when you get your other CMR lined up, he's just going to pick up where VMAC left off. So you're still experiencing those synergies that you got from that model. Granted, it's like
like we were discussing the date, and it's kind of important at the Paso Community Campus. Those temporaries have to be moved. Coordination with the utilities, all of that needs to be happening basically now. And the architect needed to kind of like say, is this kind of where it needs to go? So we can go and tell the community college folks, this is what I'm going to build here. So some of the stuff is critical time-wise because of the gap between the architect selection and the CMR for this stuff. So other than that, Milo Winky really hasn't drawn much. So he would be kind of coming on board, kind of.
Here's the other thing.
Like a traditional.
Here's the other thing. Like, honestly, like, we're trying to, because, you know, for political correctness and everything, here's the schedule overall. But the reality of the situation is you have architects that are way ahead of the game. And when I draw the schedule, they're architects that I'm like, come on, you're like the last guy on the relay race. Like, let's go. So the reality is that I have no doubt that, Aldenete Middle School and Northwest College campus with GA, with the exception of, you know, we need to get those portables moved and stuff, and that CMS, those two architects are way ahead of Philo Wilkie. And so when I present this schedule to you as always a draft, the reality is I might, two of them can probably move up, and one of them is probably going to, I mean, I'm trying my best to.
How are we bundling the CMRs then?
Oh, per straight Philo Wilkie, Architect A, Architect B, and Architect C. And so each contractor has an architect that they're working with. So we have one just for Canutillo Middle School that will also do the marquees. We have one that's doing the Aldenete Middle School and Northwest College Campus Early Edition with GA. And then we have another one that's doing the high school, Canutillo Elementary School, the four.
BC, what was the first one?
What you have is you have five recommendations for the three different architects.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess it could come out that one of those five would be superior, for that you would pick one of those five for all three. That could happen. Maybe not. You could take two with.
And that's the way we set the bid, right?
And we set it up so you could split it if you wanted to, or you have the option. You can award all projects to one. And some of them only bid certain projects. They didn't bid all four projects.
Right, so.
Two only bid two projects.
So you have big contractors that checked every box because they wanted everything. One concern with that is, because I was on a project at the other school district, it was an admin remodel at 19 campuses. And the intention was to split it into three groups, right? But one guy clicked every box and he said, look, you know, if I get all of them, I'll give you a deal. Well, now, that may be all right, and he was able to convince them to do that. Now, that may be all right, but the problem is this. A general contractor only has so many site superintendents, you know? And so when they put the qualification packages together, it's like, oh, well, this is our CFO. Well, I don't care who the CFO is. I want to know who's going to be there 24-7, who's going to be there. And so what happens is you have your great guys, you know? They've been there with you 10, 20 years, you know? But then by the time you have 19 campuses, you're getting to guys that are less experienced that maybe they just picked up just to be able to have the capacity to supervise every site. So what good of a quality of your supervisors that they're getting? And we want to make sure that we're always getting their top quality site superintendents, you know? And so there were...
The first bundle, which was?
Alloys Project, which is the high school, the elementary school, the admin building, you know, which is, you know, just the lift. Pretty much this point. The support services center, and then the four elementary schools, which have like a soccer field in that. That's one. The second package is two building additions, both with GA Architects at Aldet at the middle school and Northwest Early College campus. It's just a clean two-site project. And then the third one is just Canutillo Middle School, but that one we will recommend to award to the same person that gets the marquees. So the large contractors.
The marquee is why?
Well, because there's a new marquee for each of the middle schools.
The last discussion that we had of facilities and finance was the fact that CMS is not much of brick and mortar, and that could be hard bid.
Well, I'll tell you, if you look at the budget of that project, just in site work alone, and well, of course, I don't want to, but it was like $500,000 because of the
front parking lot.
It's not a very small project.
It's not a small project, but it's not a brick and mortar where that's more where you need the CMR type of model when it comes to, you know, the way the model works. And that's the discussion we had last time. What we were going to look at is somebody for small projects and then the big brick and mortar projects.
I would not consider like Canutillo Middle a small project though.
That's an option. And remember, we had that option to go out for a hard bid on those small projects, and that was going to follow under a small project.
I mean, of course.
That's the discussion we had last time, and the direction that my understanding was.
Well, when we adopted it, all of them kind of had like the option to go out for a hard bid, and in essence, they will all have a hard bid in step two. You can actually, by this process, you can jettison the pre-construction services totally and pay strictly for the hard bid number, in a way.
Well, I'll just leave it at that.
Anybody else?
Good, Chair.
Oscar.
One thing, by getting involved and understanding some of the scope, although the CMR is very limited trades and pretty straightforward. Johnson Controls is going to put in new air conditioning, and the coordination between that portion of the work and having a CMR may be a better deal for you instead of a hard bid.
That's going to say, well, I didn't sign up for that. It's going to be extra.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right?
That's the only thing that may...
You're asking me to now coordinate with
Johnson Controls.
Right. That wasn't part of my...
Right.
Because they're going to move some walls. They're going to move new walls. Right. And what are the conversations? Like, I even had them with Johnson Controls. I said, are you going to take care of the ceiling grid? No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just going to drop it right in the existing ceiling grid. So there's going to be some... Either patch ceiling grid or new ceiling grid.
Well, we've met several times with Johnson Controls. We had a joint meeting with MNK, and then I met with them on Tuesday. And really, our big conversations have centered around CMS and that coordination. I mean, not external, but other things that we've talked about, we're planning on having some, we talked about even the idea of public perception, because for the district-wide contract, it's like, I think the understanding is, well, if we're getting cooling, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're getting heating, you know? Or that you're getting, are we getting new ductwork in some areas where it's needed? Or just because we're getting new ductwork, does that mean you're getting a new ceiling? What is the cost associated? Because that's not necessarily. So to do these kind of things, and right now they're just working because they have to do the triangle formula of the same. So when that's a little bit clearer to have for them to present at our leadership meeting with all the principals, and just so that it doesn't come back like, oh, well, you know, so that there's an understanding of what the real scope is. So we've been talking about that too. But we've been meeting with them regularly. I met with Solomon yesterday.
Anybody else? All right. Lori?
No, I'm good.
All right, Doug.
Board agenda draft.
Okay. All right, that covers it.
So, you tell me.
I think that's it.
Okay.
Now, I had an item on the district-wide campus security services.
Oh, okay.
This is just to start talking about what, you know, in light of the recent developments and what everybody's talking about in terms of security at schools now, I think we need to start thinking about those issues. And having the construction of the PK thread is perfect that we can get that school on board, and we talked about some of those issues with Carl Daniels, but we need to start maybe thinking of some areas, and maybe you can get with, and I guess when are we hiring our technology? Or
Yesterday.
We really need them on board to start thinking of when we start designing a plan for the security issues with.
Tony's my network engineer.
Uh-huh.
He's been Dublin and
okay.
Everything. So and he's got a project management cert. So he's been.
So what you're thinking is just some sort of district-wide system? Or just
I want to get some suggestions from administration about what, you know, and I don't know where we need to start on that, but
start getting the information.
At least start getting information about what alternatives there are, what we can do, and so that we can prepare for, and maybe there's some things that initially we can do, but to have a general plan overall for the entire district, so that we can start seeing what we're going to need and include it in the next bond project.
We're already, go ahead.
We actually brought that up on the safety meeting last time. They wanted some topics to be included in that, and they talked about doing cybersecurity too.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're going to be including those topics in the safety meetings. So kind of informing kids about online safety, you know, perimeter control, anything that can keep our kids safe.
And then we're doing on the other side of the info too. Just like Tony said, we have stepped up our efforts on social media. So as far as social media conduct, and you know, so it's a whole new world we got out there, guys, and we're trying to. I have Chris going to TCEA, I think in another week with the librarians, that they're going to come back, and their goal is to come up with a plan as far as for social media to present. We have documentation of all the kids that are getting this type of, you know, social media and cyberbullying that we have. So we're over. You know, we have to do that. Remember I came in and we told you about the SIPA, that we have to do that. But we're doing it beyond that because this is becoming such an issue. You know, we saw that this just recently when we had the, remember the fear of the threat, you know what
right.
I mean, of the high school. And that was absolutely nerve-wracking.
Would you have to contact would you have to contact the sheriff's department and the city?
Oh, we're all the way to Homeland Security.
Because you split some of your campuses fall into the city's.
Oh no, we just went to the feds.
Did you get the note on Java? And I should be the last person talking about technology, but did you get the message from Homeland Security on Java?
Yeah, I didn't get it from them, but I get it from somebody else.
We're in that 5 mile DJ.
That's cool. I don't understand, I don't know much about social media, but on the other side of the spectrum, we did talk about with pre-K 8, like they are putting provisions for surveillance systems, for intrusion, for contactors and stuff like that. Even if the cameras are by owner, they're putting the cabling, we're counting on putting the data cable
stuff,
runs and the penetrations and all that. And then one other question was just like, if the district wanted to consider, and this is kind of like a change in direction, is badge access control, because that's a big thing in other institutions. And I don't know if that's something that you guys wanted to consider, but that means we'd have to badge people. That's like an HR thing. They would issue you a badge. Is that something you guys are interested in at all?
And that we could bring also as pilot. You know what I mean? We could start pilot campuses, that we could do that. And that we have the technology. The technology's there, and it's even
maybe they
reasonable.
Could clock you in while you get in.
Yeah, right.
That's unfortunate how they're starting now.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I just had a meeting with Mike Gonzalez this week on safety of schools. And I'm going to have him get with Tony and Jennifer for budget planning for next year. So, and what we're doing is because I want to look at the surveillance cameras that we've been talking about, and I want to do a comprehensive, come up with a concept, like we've done with technology, come up and do it in a systemic manner that you do, you know, you say, okay, we're putting this school, then this school, and then this school, and then we bring them in phases, but that everybody's bringing the same thing, and we build our expertise.
And you may not have to wait, because, you know, we have a bond project.
Well, we have a bond project.
$200,000.
And I saw the $200,000.
2006, yes.
And I actually went and priced it, and I met with a couple of vendors. But then, you know, like, I don't know what happened, but we have that.
Jennifer, we just, and I apologize for not, I've been a little busy, but, you know, to call you, because I brought that in this week, and I, you know, because I had been looking at these bonds. So I told him to start researching it. Then when he gets it, within the next 2 weeks, we're all going to meet.
Right.
So then we could present to this committee, maybe the next committee meeting, if we're ready. If not, we will be doing so that you get the idea that, because I'm looking to tapping into that money.
Yeah.
But
well, it's not just technology,
though.
Look a little further with technology and perimeter. I mean, you go to any of our campuses right now, you can walk right in.
I'm talking about associates or whatever my other title is. I'm talking about, I'm actually separated. I was very proud of myself that I separated the duties because I was he's doing that stuff with Jennifer.
You have a light that tells me
which one I'm on. But this one was for safety, for school safety, surveillance, and tapping into that $200,000 and coming up with a plan.
Well, again, the technology is great, but ultimately it's about the perimeter.
And that's exactly, we were talking old-fashioned things like
fencing.
Fence
and doors.
Geofencing?
Right.
Yep. I was talking with Mike, and I've already found the areas at CES that needs it. Then I directed him this week to go to other campuses and start giving me, you know, so we could start, then we could figure out even, do we go out for bid for this? Do I go out, you know, and then I would get with Jennifer but we are talking exactly from that point. We're talking outside perimeter in.
Doors first.
And
completed our EOP audits the year before.
And
that, we have all.
And doors are very much part of it.
All the recommendations.
Although it's a $200,000 item from the 2006 bond, but that doesn't mean that we can't repurpose it somehow. Instead of it just being cameras, because I'm sorry, cameras are great.
No, this is security.
Not,
I took it very much as you're taking it, mm-hmm. as security. Mm-hmm. I took it very much
and
as security.
They shut through the glass
yes.
to enter.
Yeah.
And in those days, we only had one type of glass for security purposes, and that was the wired glass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe we just go back to the old days.
Absolutely.
And start installing wired glass and all your perimeter doors.
That's a great idea.
And maybe even in your teachers' classrooms, you know how they had to secure themselves in there?
Or even, you know, in those windows. You know how they have those windows? There's no reason why we can't.
That is a superior idea.
And there's no reason why we can't put that wired glass in the teacher windows of those doors.
Right.
No, there's no reason.
You know, there's no reason because that wire can go off.
It after a while.
It just
because you can't really, you have to stand there and really look to get through the wired glass.
But no, Mr. Medina, we actually did look at it from perimeter wide.
I was looking through that, and I see a lot of 2006 stuff. I'm all like, okay,
I meant to say that.
And even if we don't install it for you, we should wire all your exterior doors because then you can later, you know, put in card access or, you know, monitor it. You know, if some alarm goes off at some location, at some
remotely too.
But you can wire all your exterior doors, don't they? So that's very common. Yeah. Mm-hmm. More secure, really.
And $200,000 is for what we need, but that's what it means. But
so we can.
But I think we can start, we actually started with the doors and then fencing, and then we'll go into camera.
Can I wait? You right?
Sorry, I want to check.
They don't provide for that anything.
Well, even though I wonder if they still make wired glass.
Maybe we can get our.
It's got electric wire through it
now. That would be hilarious.
Maybe get our grant person to start looking at grant opportunities. I'm sure the federal government now is going to make available stuff like that
for school safety.
I think the federal government will probably put that out, and we need to start looking at maybe some grant opportunities at the federal government.
You are very.
Because I know they're going to.
You know they are.
You saw what they put out today. So.
Yeah. What they put out today. I didn't see
Biden's plan.
No.
The gun control.
Yeah. With banning assault weapons and all that. Yeah.
They only allow us to
have 10. We don't usually let our kids take those to school, do we?
Chambers.
No, maybe on the weekend.
10 bullets.
Fridays. The show's up.
I think I heard 10. You might have heard 7. I said, oh, good. So only 10 people are going to die at a time.
Yeah. Sorry. All right. So that's just something that I brought up so we could start doing some kind of a comprehensive plan for.
Yes.
Our district facilities.
I'm glad you put it on there.
Next question.
Yes.
Are you all interested? The water utilities called me in buying that piece of land still.
Which piece?
That one piece of land that was like ended in a triangle shape.
Oh.
Behind the.
On the spur?
Yeah. The water utilities called me. We met with TxDOT. They weren't going to be able to
do it. On Tuesday, we're going to talk about
that. Mando and I, we were discussing that, and we looked at their plan. The problem with that is that we'd have to figure out if there's going to be a bridge at the intersection of Rubalcaba that goes over that ditch.
They're not going to make one. We met with TxDOT on that.
And if they're not, then it can.
They're not. So my answer would be.
It's not going to connect.
It's not going to happen. We met with.
I don't know why, but.
It's not going to happen.
They don't have a plan.
They're too far along, and so it's like a change order and a whole change in direction for them, and they were just like.
Yeah, it's whatever's coming down off of Rubalcaba will just hit the spur.
The only way is you'd have to go to Donovan, then you'd have to buy your way in to build a private road and all that.
So when Mando and I took a look at that, we figured that was not going to be an option. So even if we bought it and we put our own bridge just to access the road going. It's going to be very expensive. I mean, it might cost us $500,000 or more just to put a bridge over that deal there.
Plus, who knows how long?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the utility issue. I don't know what side they're going to be on, this side or the other side.
I don't know. We didn't ask that. We just stopped at the bridge.
So that's another. that's another
bridge,
problem.
Forget it.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. All right. That takes us. I guess let's go back up there. You guys want to take a break?
No. Okay. We're on the roll.
Rolling.
All right. Is this yours or mine?
No, yours. Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
Time has been nice.
Make sure you
get your. Yeah,
It's just meeting number three, it's okay.
It's the marathon. I told you there was an initiation.
Is tomorrow Thursday?
Yes.
I've been wrong on the day of the week.
This part here. All right, next agenda item, please.
Agenda item 2B, financial services, item 1, district financials for December 1st through the 31st, 2012, presented by Salim.
We were in presentations all day today, so I'm not sure if Mr. Earls contacted me today, but do you have any questions for me?
Always, Martha. They're counting on it.
Yeah, we are.
Martha, we'll just go real fast. I'll tell you, and then you can just write me back.
Yes,
okay. This first one. I'm just going to show Ms. Brigham.
Okay. Okay. I'll say ask Ms. Brigham.
Ask Ms. Brigham. It's page 7 of 298. Ask Ms. Brigham.
Okay.
In the following pages under American Express, we've got quite a few employees that are going to Nabe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And to Tabe. Mm-hmm. And in light of the issues that we've had in the school district, I'd really like to make sure those people go and put their nose to the grindstone.
Could I have the page number on that?
Yes, ma'am. It would be page 9. There's some more on page 11. And they're called out. That
what I could do then is I could, I would be glad to, I'll go through all of the, what I'll find out is we could get a list of who's going.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, Mr. Getty, what we could do is then, if Savia could give me a list, I will write a directive on what I need based upon what we have seen,
Very good.
I know that...
What you're aware of.
What I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. And I will ask the report to be coming back to me that I will... How's that?
Yes.
Okay. You've got it.
Excellent. Okay. Moving on from there. Page 35, at the bottom of the page, it's a very minimal amount. 8255, parts needed to replace lights and electrical panel points at CHS. Is that part of the Johnson Control, the bond issue, anything, or is it just normal
wear? It is like maintenance, but I will verify.
Okay. Page 37, CIS Network. For $395, we've got Teacher's Toolbox, How to Teach Character Education. This was one of the board's goals this year. I just, if Ms. Araujo could give us an update, what's she doing there? Page 40, Coefficient Systems Testing, Inc. for $17,096. Is it bond money?
Mm-hmm.
And whatever goes wrong. Page 42, Crescent Electric, back to the high school gym. They've got lamps and ballasts need to be replaced. Is it, you know, our bond, is it Johnson Control or just, you know, normal wear and tear? Page 67, actually it starts on 66, it's our electric bill. And we've got one campus that is just way over the rest of them. Somebody is at 13,000, everybody else is running like an average of 2,000. Page 69, El Paso Water Utilities. We've got one that's running 4,000, everybody else is, looks like median price would be about 1,200. And yet one campus is at 4378.
Ms. Searles?
Yes, sir.
And one of that was the at CMS that they were... Find out the leak that was happening?
No, I haven't gotten a resolution from Jennifer, but I can certainly ask her if she has an update.
Yeah.
Page 73, ExerPlay Inc. for $41,619. I'm thinking this is
it is bond. Yes.
And is it finished? Is the project completed? Is that it? Page 75. Expressway Ford for $2,696.64. It's, we discussed this last month too, service on that same truck that we need to budget for a new truck.
I will, as we're getting ready for the budget and budget priorities, I will remind Ms. Sarajo to put that in her budget.
Yeah, that's a big chunk to
keep throwing in there.
Keep throwing into the truck. That...
And in a response I had gotten from Mr. Gill when I asked him about it, you know, he says, well, we're dealing with it and, you know, moving along with it, but of course, you know, it's got its
get a new one for $12,000 to $15,000.
Absolutely.
You're sinking $3,000 just for repair.
And they use that. I asked him the same thing, and he was very noncommittal, very, you know, well, we'll just do what we have to do. And but I say that's a waste of money.
Yeah.
Page 100, INX LLC. It's for the data center bond project, central office, $78,000. Is it finished? Same on page 109 for Renner Sports Services. It was for $61,460. Is it finished? Texas Gas Service, back to our...
What page?
Page 276. These aren't quite so spread as the other utilities, but we've got two campuses hitting at 2,000, or two facilities, I should say. And everybody else is, you know, down in the hundreds.
We'll probably see it higher for January, too.
But...
Because of this is for gas.
I agree, because my gas bill went, you know, instead of 30, it's 100. But
you've
got two campuses that are really high.
Yeah.
Identify what campuses they are, this, you know, the high school and the middle school.
Somebody's not being in the energy miser. And that's it.
All All right.
Thank you, Ms. Gibbons.
Thank you, Ms. Gibbons.
All right. That takes us to...
I apologize. District financials.
Number one.
Review. Yeah.
That's okay.
I'm ready to review. We want to go there.
Sure.
Okay. If we go to page one under the fund 196 and 199, which are local funds and our high school allotment fund. We had revenues at 44% received of the expected revenue funds of $47 million. We collected $21 million at this point. At the same time last year, the district had collected 48.9%, which was also the $21 million mark in revenues. So we don't have a change in revenues received as of this, you know, current, as of December 31st. On the expenditure sides, under Fund 196 and 199, we have a 46% in expenditures of the actual budget, which is about $19.1 million. This time last year, the district had expended the 47, so we're right on track with our expending process and patterns that we've got. If we go to page two with the state comp ed funds, our expenditures there are at 48.9%, about $1 million. At this time last year, we had only expended $809,000. We do have a huge effort in making the compliance requirement, you know, awareness to our campuses that state comp ed funds must be expended at a certain percentage. Mm-hmm. And so we have put some deadlines, hard timelines for them to meet. We had one in December, and of course that one, it was at 50% and they fell short a couple of points. They have another deadline coming up on January 31st, and we've sent them emails giving them that reminder, and deadlines around the corner, submit your purchase orders and, you know, let's get going. And so we're monitoring, and we have 60% by end of this month, 75% by the end of February, and then 100% by March. And so, you know, we're just monitoring and making sure that we get there so that we don't have to say we didn't expend our funds as we have, you know, are required to. Under page three, which is our food service revenue and expenditures, currently we're at 22% of revenues collected of the expected revenues. We have a total of $916,000. At this time last year, we had received $1.4 million. We have submitted our December reimbursement or expenditure request. We have not received it, but we will be looking at that closely to make sure that our numbers are correct. I will mention that last year's revenue projections were at $3 million, and that's what we budgeted and approved the budget at. However, we received a total of $4 million in revenue. So there was more claims submitted and, of course, then generated more funds. Based on that, we budgeted this year's revenue at the $4 million mark, and so we're going to be analyzing and ensuring that we hit that mark or we stop the spending and make sure that we don't go over budget in that fund. Under the expenditures, right now she's at 49%, which is approximately $1.5 million. Her major costs are the food costs and payroll costs. And so at this time last year, she had also expended $1.5 million. So we're on target as far as her spending patterns. We just need to monitor and make sure that the revenue comes in as planned, if not change of plan on the expenditures for the following months. Under page four, we have debt service. Under debt service, we have collected 63% of our revenues expected there at the total of $3.1 million. At this time last year, we had collected 10% of it, $697,000. In reviewing the change and why we have such a high level of revenue by this time is that we received our EBA and IFA funding in last month. And last year, we didn't get it till January. So that's where that difference in revenue that came in. We received approximately $1.3 million combined between the EDA and the IFA allotment that the state gives us. And under the expenditures, we have expended 68% of that budget, which is approximately $4.2 million. At this time, last year, we had expended $3.9 million. And basically because we pay our bond requirements in August, and so that's part of this fiscal year. We pay the principal in August, and then we pay the interest part in February. So you will see when I report on the February financials, well, there's the 100% of our debt service requirements will be covered at that point. Under page 5, the statement of cash and investment balances. Cash and investment balances for December reflected a $15.9 million in the accounts. The statement reflects an $826,000 increase from last year, the same time. And we go to page 6 under the investments by fund. The investment by fund chart reflects that there's a total of $46.6 million currently invested in various investment tools, from pools to money markets. The statement reflects a $1.9 million increase in invested funds at this point. The interest rates vary through the month of December, and right now we're between 0.13, which is our lowest interest rate, to 0.26. And 0.26, you think, wow, this is a great rate.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, in these times, that it has been the highest that I've seen for the last couple of years. And so we get excited for something.
Remember when it was 10 and 13%?
I would be happy with the 5%, 4 or 5%.
And we could hit the 3.
Yeah, 3 is what.
So that's, and then under page 7, the analysis of tax collections. Currently, we're reflecting a $1.7 million in tax collections as of December 31st. And as I mentioned last month, January is where you're going to see the majority of our collections in revenue from tax. At this time last year, the district had collected a total of $1.1 million, reflects a $600,000 increase when compared to last year. Under page 8, which is a comparative tax collection report, we have projected a revenue of $23.5 million in tax collections, and we've received 41% of those funds at 9.7, and we're right at the 6-month mark. And so, like I said, with a majority coming in this month and then a little left next month, we should see the revenue in there. Under page 9, workers' compensation fund, and I know that last month you all had some additional questions for me regarding that. So I have a little bit, I've done some research. Currently, for the month of December, we paid in contributions to the workers' compensation fund $160,000 compared to $228,000 that was paid in last year's contributions. The district paid out $186,000 in claims through the month of December, in comparison to $304,000 last year. And so we have excess in expenditures over revenue instead of the other way around. I did meet with Mike Gonzalez and asked him to give us a little bit of a history, or, you know, what he could share and what he's seen. And the first and most important thing is that in 2011, which you can see, we were having contributions, employee contributions, of about $350,000. We're at $160,000. The biggest difference is that beginning fiscal year 12, we went from being self-funded to using a third-party administrator. And so at this point, what we do is, that's one of the reasons. In addition to that, when comparing the 3 years, fiscal year 11 was a very low year in as far as claims, you know, our safety, you know, rules, and our employees didn't have any, you know, work on the job type of incidents. So of course, that's where our claims were so low at the 50,000 mark. Another issue or factor that adds to the differences in contribution amounts is that in fiscal year 12, we also did an analysis to ensure that all our employees are classified correctly, you know, because they have a bracket for professionals, they have a bracket for what the transportation drivers, and then they have the other bracket. And that other bracket is your other support staff. And so there's different rates. Of course, the drivers have, or right now, currently, we're paying 5.65 for their workers' comp. Where you see a professional, we only have a deduction of 0.58%. So in fiscal year 12, we made sure that everybody was classified correctly, because when now that we're using this third party especially, they come and do an analysis, and then at the end of the year, they'll add whatever charges, they'll reconcile, and we'll have to pay additional fines if we didn't project correctly. So we went and started at the beginning, ensuring that we were classifying everybody in the correct way. So that's where you can see that difference. Fiscal year 11 also has a big difference, because if you remember, that's the year that we had all the reductions in staffing. You know, we went with this, 64 employees that were no longer on the payroll. So that also brought down those costs. Another issue that we are still seeing, although it's not as great in fiscal year 13 when compared under the premiums, claims and pay, premiums. I'm sorry, I'm not sure it's called premiums. Under the claims paid columns, is that in fiscal year 12, we were paying, well, fiscal year 11, we're self-funded. Fiscal year 12, we are paying this third-party company for premiums for their services. And in addition, we are also getting TASB claims that were lingering from prior years, who was taking care of our debt. This year, we still have a few of the TASB payments, but not as many, but some are still coming in. So we're paying out into two different entities. And the last issue that has affected our workers' comp issue is also that our fiscal year is July 1 through June 30th. The third party's fiscal year is September 1 through August 31st. So that first year, which you can see is the highest one of it, we are looking at claims for their prior fiscal year. We're carrying them into our new fiscal year. And so that's kind of like that adjustment we had when we changed our fiscal year, where that one first year, a little bit of everything was out of whack for them. So that's the information I gathered for page 9, workers' comp. Under page 10, the healthcare fund, right now we're reflecting that we've received in premiums, in contributions, $2.5 million. Into the fund, compared to $2.4 million that we received last year. Now, we haven't increased our employee contribution portion, and we pay about $4,500 annually per employee as a district to that self-funded account. And then we paid out $2.6 million in expenses through the month of December in comparison to $2.1 last year. I did contact Mario Carmona and asked him to give me some information as far as, you know, our stop loss, our claims, where are we with that? And we are currently, we've had 5 employees that have reached that stop loss level. However, the money is fronted, of course, by our funds. So those $100,000, where you see that $2.2 million in costs that we've paid, it's because the stop loss hasn't kicked in yet to reimburse us on those expenses. He did indicate that last year we were, and I believe it was 4, but it could have been 5. Same time last year, we were experiencing the same situation. And so that's where you're seeing the timing and claims paid. Under page 11, which is the construction budget analysis, and I know that Jennifer's provided a more detailed version of the projects in place, but currently we have expensed a total of $500,000 compared to the $3.6 that were expensed at this time last year. And so there is still remaining funds of $8.1 million there. We still have the allocations that are there for the bond tax relief that we still haven't touched. And these funds, again, through considerations with Jeff Robert, we may not have to use them and use our fund balance and debt service to offset it, and then that gives the board $2.9 million, $3 million to get into other projects that we may be short. And so that's something that's going to be looked at as we prepare for the budget presentations coming up in the next couple of months. Under the bonds for 2011, we currently have $879,000 expended compared to last year where we were only at 102. And as Jennifer's presenting all these projects and updates, you can see that very soon these funds are going to start moving faster than they are at this point. We go to the very last page, which is page 16. We have our weekly enrollment report. And currently, our enrollment is at 6,020. Last year, at this same time, we had an enrollment of 5,956. So we increased by 64 students. Again, this is enrollment. It's not the ADA, but it is in, you know, bodies in the classroom. Any questions?
Adrian, Lori?
No, thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, next agenda item.
Agenda item 2B2, warrant list for December 1st through the 31st, 2012.
We already.
Which has already been discussed.
That?
I apologize, I jumped the
next one.
That's
all right. Agenda item 2B3, district surplus auction, presented list Aguirre.
Good evening. My name is Alex Aguilar, warehouse coordinator for El Paso, for the Tompkins Independent School District. I guess I'm trying to petition a date for the March 2nd for the surplus auction.
Is that a Saturday?
It's a Saturday. So we provided a list of items that are currently in that surplus building that are in need of either being removed, you know, because that building is full to capacity.
We don't have the list of them.
We just put general items that are currently in there. I do have a list of vehicles that transportation provided for sale. It's recommended if we do get rid of them or not. This is, they don't start. But I do have a list. I didn't include it on this packet.
And
I wasn't sure, but I can act more like
that. Yeah, you can put it in Thursday's packet.
I will mention that we had a training or mid-year update with our office managers, and as we're moving forward with the asset software purchase, and you know, the committee that's been working on it very diligently is close to coming to you all with a recommendation and hoping for approval. We're talking about the fact that we also need a district inventory so that when we put the information into the software, it's as up-to-date and obsolete equipment is taken off campuses. So one of the things that I mentioned to our campus staff is that they need to start looking in and making sure that, you know, that one closet where everybody throws everything in that perhaps isn't working, that all that needs to start being, you know, ID'd. Submitted into that property transfer form and bringing it in. We can take advantage of the fact that we're having this surplus, if approved, this is surplus auction in March. So that gives them about a month and a half to prepare and we get, you know.
Tell them it's a garage sale. Everybody understands.
So, you know, we're working on the fact that we may provide you a list right now and it might grow before the actual. But we will provide you a basic summary of what we have out there. And I also wanted to take the time to, I know Mr. Aguilar hadn't come to a board meeting, and so that, you know, you could meet him. He's your warehouse services coordinator, and he's been with us about 6 months now.
Good evening. It's a pleasure.
Mr. Aguilar. Any questions? All right, thank you. Next agenda.
Let's give you Thursday's packet.
The list? We can provide the preliminary list there.
Thank you.
Agenda item 4, proposed changes to CHF regulation accounts payable payment process, presented Ms. Aguirre.
You received the CHF regulation in your Thursday packet last week, and I did put a cover memo. I presented this regulation to Cabinet for their review and potential changes that they recommend. If you notice, it's all in blue. That's because we didn't have a regulation in place. And so what I've done is basically taken our accounts payable processes that we have outlined for our campus managers to follow and inserted it into a regulation so that it's an official reg for the district. One of the things that I wanted to mention among the regulation, if you go to page 2, is that before, if you see the purchasing CH policy, it talks about a purchase order as the district's method of purchasing. And now we have several other, you know, as we move with teams, we have employee reimbursement forms, we've got disbursement vouchers. So I've changed them from purchase order method to purchasing tool methods that the district has approved. And so that I kind of identify those in this way. Other things important on or big on this regulation is the section that says construction payment applications. This is all general. This is all construction projects that need to be, how the process is to submit the documentation before we pay on any project to ensure that we're paying for completed jobs. And so, you know, attached to the regulation is also the exhibit that is already in current practice. And Jennifer provides this with all the documents that she lists on this reg, just to ensure that we can back up what it is that we're doing with the district and district bond funds. Because I understand, you know, it's important to be able to document what we have in place and why we did what we did. And so this regulation basically just outlines the current practice.
Questions on the regulation?
No. So this is the first time we've had a written. Thank you, Martha. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. Agenda item B5, proposed changes to CH local and regulation purchasing of deposition. Presenter, Ms. Aguilar.
And I'll review, well, I'll start by saying in the past, in November, Mr. Rodriguez had mentioned that we should review our current CH policy, which is a purchasing and acquisition, and determine what are the best practices. Go to other districts and see what the best practices are as far as how do you address them after the fact. And so we made contact with 4 districts. I did 1 local and then 3 that are out in Texas. I did 2 that are at 40,000 enrollment, you know, so it's a larger district. Actually, 3. I did 60,000, 40,000, 2 of those, and then the 12,000, which is a mid-sized district. Contacted Socorro, and I did provide a memo, a cover sheet with the agenda. Contacted Socorro ISD, Colleen ISD, Bravos Court, and Katie ISD. In reviewing and discussing with them how they handle their after-the-facts, they pretty much don't have a set process. When we encounter it through an audit, then we address it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, we pay them and then we go on. To another district, the same, we just don't address them, period. And then the one of the last districts said they created a form. They call it after-effect acknowledgement form. And basically, they take that to the board, but they still take it to the board for approval prior to paying that invoice. Now, in taking the different, well, just the one practice mainly that they have, and you know, it mirrors our current practice because I prepare a document, I turn it into internal audit and the superintendent, and then they forward that information to the board. It eventually makes it onto the board agenda, and then you authorize us to pay it. I will tell you that it's very difficult, or it just lengthens the payment process. Over 60 days, usually. And so in meeting with the finance staff and then discussing with Cabinet, can we find that happy medium where we report it, but process that payment in a timely manner? And so what we came up with is that exhibit that was attached to the form. And it looks, it's this one, I don't know if you've got it on your. And basically, it as soon as and after the fact is identified, we then would contact that employee, the originator, and the campus department, or department head, I'm sorry, and they would fill out the form and sign off on it, understanding that, you know, what our policy is and what they've done. Once it's signed and it comes back to my office, I forward to the internal auditor, and in turn, keep give you a monthly report on these types of purchases. In the meantime, though, I could process payment the minute this was in our possession and turned in, if approved by you all. So what we did is we modified CH regulation to where a lot of the areas that you notice that are red and crossed out, instead of purchase order, I changed it to call it purchasing tool. Because again, we have different methods of the way we purchase items now. Then you can see those throughout. One of the items that I, one of the paragraph that I added on the very first page of it under purchasing guidelines is the blue section. It says authorized district employees in charge of the department or school budget and purchase items included in their group budget in accordance with administrative procedures. All purchases made without proper authorization will be referred back to the individual making the purchase payment. How are we going to refer back to that payment to that individual? By getting that form filled out and then forwarded it. So there will be documentation on what has occurred. We have acknowledged that after the fact, but at the same time, we have paid that invoice in a timely manner. It's CH policy, which is has to be reviewed by the board twice and approved, you know, before it moves forward. I did do a very minor modification on that CH policy, and it's basically to reference that the board will approve payment of purchases as long as the individual adheres to the administrative regulation process. The administrative regulation process says we will fill out that form, document that you haven't done it correctly, and we're going to move forward with it. So that's where CH policy, which is your policy, would cover the fact that you are authorizing us to follow, you know, in that process. And so,
make my comment. All that will do is what Ms. Aghetti just said. It will facilitate that we don't have to put a board item on to pay for after the facts, that we have set up a process for it, but then we can still follow her net 30 and everything, that so we don't get behind and get saying that we don't pay our bills on time. So it's just a more streamlined way of getting the payment done, but still documenting after the facts. It's very thorough. I think we're probably doing much better than anybody else.
Obviously.
Than she said.
And we are addressing vendors as well. Right. When we encounter these situations, we do have an acknowledgement form that the vendors have to fill out and sign. And it's kind of like I understand district policies and I will follow the district. I will not issue product prior to an approved purchase order. We get them to sign, and until they sign, I inactivate their status. Once we get that form, then we move forward. Now we have it on record that they have committed to following that policy.
Okay. Adrian?
No.
Laura?
I have one question. This is in your regulation. Page 10 of 12, it's nothing new. It's in black. It's not blue or orange.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
1, 2, 3, the third bullet. That it is against this regulation. And the third bullet says, a business or organization in which the employee or any member of the employee's immediate family has a financial interest pertaining to the procurement. And my mind is thinking of Renaissance Reading and the person who sells it to us, their spouse is employed in the district.
We do require, request that first of all, budget authorities are required to now sign a conflict of interest form on an annual basis. And this is a year that this is the first year back in August that we started with that procedure. Now, the vendor is required to fill out a conflict of interest. We would hope that they have reported that. Is Ron still here? Because as long as, thank you.
I got your back.
If they reported on that conflict of interest that there's someone in this district that is working here, we are okay with continuing the business
Could you check that specific one and make sure that...
Yes, we did.
You did check it, I'm sorry?
The auditor asked for a copy of it the other day.
Okay, and we were in...
And it's in place?
It's in place, I don't know, it didn't show any conflicts.
Okay.
Tell you that.
Just, I mean, the red flag goes up for me on this one.
And it's not until certain, you know, communication like that, you know, if they, because, I mean, we...
I understand.
All we do is hope that they've reported correctly.
And that they're honest.
Yes.
Yeah. And we require, every time we go out for bid too, they have to fill out one for that bid itself, so that way we keep current with, at least some of the vendors we're buying more material from, you know, that's...
It's just, the problem I had with this particular one was it was about 2 years ago under the radar and had not been detected or dealt with, and I just want to make sure we've, you know, wrapped that one up.
Okay, and I know that in the last week or so, in discussions with the auditor, he did mention that he'd like, I don't have a, that if we have the requirement of the conflict of interest, but it doesn't, he says, I want you to add that it's annually that it's going to occur. Mm-hmm. Although you, that was your plan, we got to make sure that it's in
writing. That it happens.
And then I have a time frame, for example, if somebody opens a new business and it happens to be really relative to someone in the district, that they have a time frame by which they have to report that change to us, and they shouldn't wait till the annual filling out to do that.
Okay.
We do require that as sponsors as well, because we have a lot of shirt sales, we have a lot of, you know, and so we do ask them to go ahead and disclose. And we let them know, you know, don't be afraid to say you have a relative. All we want to know is that it's disclosed so that there's no question about what you, you know. Yeah. You don't get that call saying, you know what, so-and-so is brother to the sister to the, you know. So we do let them know.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Anybody else? All right. Next agenda item.
Agenda item 2C, purchasing. Item 1, contract with Joe Hernandez for GIS services. Presenter, Mr. Gatlin.
Committee Chair, committee members, Ms. Bergen, I place before you an item to approve the professional services contract with Joe Hernandez. This is for our ARC GIS services. We actually went into a contract with him earlier in the year, but it was for $6,000. We actually want to increase on that, and since the increase puts us over $10,000, that's why we're bringing that to you.
May I? What I did do, this is under the associate superintendent, and Ms. Earle, this is for the information that we're getting to populate the information from we're getting also from the demographer, so that I could put, you know, the areas that are being populated in Kainatio that we'll be able to put layers, you know, we're putting a layer on, you know, the areas projected, the rooftops, and that's
for
what this
the development.
Is. And this is... We're trying to develop a very good database so that we can. So remember, I told you we're in our infancy with this, and this is we're just moving right along.
Okay, thank you, Annette.
Okay.
All right. Anybody have any other questions on that?
No.
We covered well. Everybody recommended it to the board.
Are we going to be leading the group in our GIS?
You mean as far as other districts? This gentleman works for EPISD, and he says we're asking more information from him than he gets asked in months.
Good.
From there.
Well,
so, ma'am. So, yes, and but he's, it, you know, it's, yeah, we have.
Thank you.
All right. Comfortable recommending it to the board?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
We will recommend it to the board. Next agenda item.
Agenda item C2, technology equipment for Calentillo Elementary School. Presenter, Mr. Gatlin.
This item is for CES, and it's going to be some technology equipment that they're needing, some carts and AV carts and shelving and stuff like that. And it is coming out of state competitive funding.
Okay. Questions, anyone? All right, we're recommended to the board.
Agenda item 2C, item 3, Calentillo High School sound system equipment. Presenter, Mr. Gatlin.
Okay, this item is the one we talked about for the marching band a couple of meetings ago, I don't know if you remember.
Yes.
This is, we finally got the information that he wanted, the specifications, and this is what we're presenting to you for that purpose.
This is, if I remember right, Ron, he's spending $12,000.
$400.
Is it out of his music budget?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yes, ma'am.
Right. And we, I remember that there was about $18,000 authorized for this. Would you just ask what, if you put the other $6,000 into the drums or what?
Yeah, I remember it being 15, but I mean, it's 15, been a while, so.
15, 680, 40 is what
I'm
seeing.
He was, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, he talked with me today.
Yeah, but they're not purchasing all that, so if you'll notice that there's a scratch out on there.
He didn't get the marimbas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I saw that. You're right. Yeah.
He got sorry. A pool, but he decided he
didn't. I remember that for some reason.
What?
It comes out to a total of $12,159.
So. All right.
Yeah. Recommend.
Recommend it to the board. All right.
Agenda item 2C, item 4, drums for the Unfield High School Band, presented to Kevin.
This also is for Kansas High School for the band department for UIL competitions. I'm sorry, I'm getting tired. And it is from Olivas Music, and they are on one of the five board person co-op.
And they will march for UIL? Yeah. Here with these drums?
Well, that's what you're saying they're for.
Yeah.
That's all I could say.
Hold them accountable there.
Yeah. All right.
You recommend?
Recommend it to the board.
We used to have an awesome drum corps.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm hoping they come back up to speed.
And we've done C5, mm-hmm. So next agenda.
Thank you.
Agenda item 2D, internal audit, item 1, hotline update.
There you go. He's waiting back there. You is what is Emil going to come from that side?
I put him on alert.
It's that new beep, the remote control beeper.
I put him on alert. Thank
you. So for the compliance hotline update, we have one compliance hotline that's in progress for the month of October, and then we have three. That we received in November, and those are closed out. And then we have three that were also received in December, and those are closed out. Is there any details that you would like to discuss about any of the cases?
Anybody?
Mm-hmm. Pretty straightforward.
No. Glory?
No.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
There's not much activity. All right.
That's good.
It's good, yeah.
Yes. It's good. Next item.
Agenda item 2D, item 2, compliance calendar. And then Mr. Rodriguez.
The focus for the work that we did related to the compliance calendar was to focus on audits that were performed in 2010. So the two pages that you see that are printed in front of you, they're for the TA Title I and Title II audit that was performed in fiscal year 2010. And so we just wanted to make sure that corrective activities were occurring related to the findings in that audit. So for the first one, the corrective activity reads proper account setup will be performed to ensure activities for basic district-wide functions are not paid from Title I party funds. And just to give you a little background about this, the finding that's related to this corrective activity, when they performed the audit, there was a finding related to six employees being paid with federal funds during fiscal year 2009-10. Which they claimed was an unallowable expense. And so to make sure that this wasn't recurring and that we have taken corrective action and activities, the procedure steps that we applied to determine whether the corrective activity had already been implemented is that we did a reconciliation between the list of approved federally funded positions, and then the list of actual federally funded positions. And so we wanted to make sure that we were only establishing these positions if they were approved by the federal government. And when we did that reconciliation, we saw that it did reconcile, so we were successful and there were no discrepancies.
Great.
We also looked at job descriptions, mm-hmm. and we wanted to make sure that these federally funded positions had current job descriptions. And so basically on these job descriptions, there's a statement where the employee is notified and is made aware that this is a federally funded position and they have to be in compliance with all the federal guidelines. And so when we selected a sample and looked at these job descriptions, all the ones that we looked at had current signatures, so they acknowledged that they were knowledgeable about the federal guidelines and they were gonna only perform allowable duties. We also, financial services worked with campus administrators and program coordinators in order for them to certify that they will review, become familiar, and comply with federal program guidelines. And so that gives us extra assurance there that the leadership is aware of these guidelines and they'll be implemented. Financial services also provided training to employees about federal program compliance during the 2012-2013 Finance Academy. And so all these controls in place, I believe that the corrective activity has been implemented, and when I change the status to complete, so we can go ahead and close this one out. The next one that we'll be talking about is the corrective activity. Adequate time and effort documentation will be maintained for the payroll costs charged to federal programs. And at the time that the audit occurred, I believe that we didn't have the documentation that was required, but now we do. We did some testing. And there's very few employees in the district that are actually split funded. There's only four, and so we tested one of those four. When we did testing, we were looking to see if there was adequate documentation for each month. And so the one that we tested, we found all the months except for one month. Well, actually, we did find that month, but it was missing signatures, employee signature, supervisor signature. So then we selected an additional person to see how pervasive, you know, like the lack of signatures were. The additional sample, we found all of them with all the signatures. So I believe it was an oversight, and in general, the controls in place that we have this documentation. Going on to the last one there, current job descriptions will be maintained for employees paid with federal funds. And so according to district record, there's 72 employees that are federally funded. And so we selected a sample of those employees, and the HR department was able to provide our current job descriptions with signatures. And so we believe that control's in place as well.
Awesome. Great. Good.
Excellent.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Questions from anybody?
No. No.
Very thorough.
Good job. Thank you
so much.
Good job.
Thank you.
All right. Next agenda item.
Agenda item D3. Administration has withdrawn this item from the agenda.
All right.
Does that mean?
That means we are, well.
Community input?
Comments and input from
the community. Anyone? Bueller?
Okay.
Annette?
Item 4, adjournment.
Adjournment by unanimous agreement of the committee.
Before 10.
I can't believe it.
It is 9.
That's why I didn't even bother on the board list, you know.
Thank you.
I thought with Mondo, and he said we could take